talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey,
I'm excited.
Okay, good.
I'll warm them up for you. Question is, how hot do you want them?
Red hot.
Gotta do the snail joke, right? That's your trademark joke, signature joke.
Yeah, you don't have to do the snail joke.
So funny.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It seems like it would be a natural reaction because other people have treated you like your life, like you're incredibly, you know, great, and your life is great, and you must have. And they all treat you differently than they do normal people. How do you keep your head about it?
Hey, you know what's fun? Alcohol.
Kevin is lazy, folks. He doesn't want to do anything. Now, we all know that idle hands are the devil's playground. And Kevin is a shining example of the beautiful sin of sloth.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I think they're doing it. I think they're doing it hard.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
Roll another one.
Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Just like the other one.
And I draw ding-dongs on
this
people.
This seems to be about to quit.
I love that story. Don't you love that story?
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
They used to say that kind of thing about Jesus, too.
Roll.
John Goodman.
Just like the other one.
You need to go to Riddlewick.
This one seems to be about
cent. Did somebody order a hooker over here?
I don't have another cent.
Why don't you just go down to hell and work for the devil? There, I said it.
Guys are douchebags and I hate them all.
Just pass it around.
You look so pretty.
Ready for the big one.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now.
No one needs something up their butt as a dude. You know what I'm saying?
Our feature presentation.
I agree with whoever that was.
I don't know.
I think that was the girl. Wasn't that the girl?
I don't think so. Why would I ever say that?
Why would you say that?
Weird.
That was weird. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It's the 1st of May.
How about that? Hey, do y'all have May Day riots slash celebration slash protests slash marches in your city like I have in mine?
We do have indeed some marches happening today.
Do bad things ever happen?
Never.
Because Seattle is a dick city for May Day riots.
It's a dick city.
Yes.
Yeah, you're gas mask city up there.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah, it's a day we do not look forward to in Seattle because, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people that show up and get involved in all sorts of craziness. And, you know, it's throw rocks through windows time, you know, So it's bad. I couldn't remember if that was a thing around the country or if we're just unusually dickish on this day.
I think you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Unusually dickish, by the way, added to Weenie Roast.
Sweet.
Side stage. But.
Nice. They're very good.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't bring this up to mock him. Because I love him as a person and wish him nothing but the best. But Scott Weiland seems to be in a bad spot again.
Yeah. Ooh.
Do you guys see the video?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see the video, but I saw somebody, I saw a tweet about it, how rough it was.
Ooh. Yeah. We have a long history with Scott, Allie. He told us many times in the early years that he, you know, basically grew up listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. He listened to us when he was a bike messenger as a teenager. He would listen to the Kevin and Bean Show every day.
Oh, wow.
And we've had him on the show many times over the years. And he, of course, lead singer for Stone Temple Pilots, now a solo act, and did a couple of breakfasts with Stone Temple Pilots. So we've spent some time with him over the years. And, you know, he's had some very well-publicized run-ins with drugs and alcohol and craziness. And a little bit of time in and out of rehab, a little bit of time in and out of jail. And, you know, he's been very frank with us and honest about the struggle. And, you know, every time we see him, it looks like it's going well. We're so happy. He's just one of those guys.
Yeah.
you know, like Andy Dick that we just are pulling for.
Yeah,
we just want him to get better.
Yeah.
So it does, it gives me no pleasure to play this tape. He's on stage in Texas a couple of days ago, and he's got a new band called The Wildabouts, but they do a couple of STP classics, and he's singing Vaseline here. And I the tape sounds a little bit rough right as it starts, then it evens out. You'll be able to hear, but let's see if you can figure out what's going on, because it doesn't sound like he's drunk to me. What's happening? Listen up. Super monotone, isn't it? Like, he's not singing. It's almost like he's just speaking the words.
It sounds like he's singing the song in a different key than the music is.
Yeah, and there were, he had said his ears were out, so he couldn't hear the mono.
Could you hear the music?
That's actually reasonable when you hear it. But if you watch the video, he's not reacting like anything's wrong. He just, he looks dead in the eyes. It just doesn't look good.
He does. He's got the thousand-yard stare.
Yeah.
TMZ spoke with Scott Weiland's rep after the show, who says maybe it wasn't Scott's best night.
Oh. Wow.
But it was a perfect storm of him being tired. And here's the part that surprised me, having a couple of drinks before the show. Now, I would think that Scott, based on his history, would be in a place where maybe a couple of drinks would be a no-no for him.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but I would guess the same thing.
And then he also adds, as Ali pointed out, that his earpiece went out during the show, which made it hard for him to stay on point. But that's not what it looks like to me. And he definitely doesn't sound drunk either. That's what's even that's what's confusing to me, is if he was up there and he was slurring, if he was kevining it, then you would go, well, he's just had a few too many.
How dare you.
But it doesn't seem like he is. Let's hear a little bit more. I feel like I got my money's worth if I went to that show.
Wow, no.
So, anyway, the rep said that good news, we've overnighted him a brand new pair of earbuds, and they'll be there for a show in Baton Rouge tonight, so I haven't heard how that show went, but hopefully he got it together and did all right. So, sending Scott Weiland the best.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
It's not that you are unlikable. It's that there's a perception that you are unlikable.
Veep is the best show on TV right now?
Yes.
Seriously?
I think we can all agree.
It's Friday, so we got the movie beat. Ralph will tell you the movies that are in the theater. Avengers, of course. We have a brand new Lightning Strikes today. We have RJ Bell in Las Vegas talking about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. We also have Beer Mug in Las Vegas. And he's doing some interviews.
Think he's still alive?
I don't know.
Beer Mug seems to me like a guy you put in Las Vegas for 2-3 days. It's 50-50 whether he comes back.
There's a picture of him that he posted interviewing Mayweather Sr.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And I cannot imagine how that went.
I mean, why is your son such a dick? I hope that's the first question.
Yeah, no, Muggs is not that way.
Okay. I have a dad.
Yeah, that's what he would say. I myself have a dad. So we're going to have some interviews from Las Vegas from Beer Mug. We have Ryan Sheckler on the program today.
Awesome.
And we have comedian Kevin Pollak in as well.
We'll take
a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:51.
Friday means Ralph's got the movie beat coming up in about a half an hour, and he is here right now with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
Before I give you Showbiz news, how about a 4-pack of VIP tickets to the big event tomorrow at Santa Anita Park, the K-Rock Microbrew Kentucky Derby Day Party.
Yeah!
We got a winner!
You don't have a winner. You don't have a winner. Really? I'm telling you right now. Liar. It's going to be a great event. It's going to be a beautiful day in Arcadia, California tomorrow, right there in the infield at Santa Anita Park.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
You don't have a winner. I don't believe you. Here's what's in the VIP pack. The one lucky winner will get 4 tickets for VIP admission. That's you and 3 friends enjoying backstage access, drink tickets, and $106 in a voucher that you get to bet on the ponies. Live racing all day long. Of course, you can bet on the Kentucky Derby from afar while you're there. There's going to be booze. There's going to be food. All ages are welcome. But you can only drink if you're 21 years of age or older. Or if Kevin's there to buy you alcohol.
How dare you?
He likes to break the law that way.
Did I get arrested for that?
Nobody gets arrested for that.
In a 7-Eleven parking lot, was it?
Of the K-Rock crew, here's who'll be there. Stryker's going to be there. Maybe he'll show you his tail if you ask him nice. Omar, he'll be there.
He'll show you something.
Yeah.
Ask me if he's old. Dave, the King of Mexico, will be there. Oh, Cupertino.
He's gonna
like
be
the horses.
He's probably going to be slapping.
Oh,
Clippers!
I overslapped. His Clappers did win last night.
They did, yeah.
Over the Spears.
And his Dicks won, too.
Oh, Kevin Embiid Ryder is going to be there. And so I say, Ryder, what are they riding? Is there some sort of bike race coming up or something that we're represented in?
Yeah.
Don't be stupid. It's the rider. The rider. I'm like, who's riding? Are you riding a pony? What are they riding?
Riding a bike? What?
No, they ride, like, stories. Oh, writer, you mean. The writer.
Yeah.
Got angry at me yesterday.
We can understand him less and less every day.
The accent gets thicker.
It does. Yeah.
He's like Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Guy's been in the country for 30 years. Still sounds like he got off the boat.
He never spoke Spanish, though. That's the
That's
beauty
true.
Of him.
At least Arnold spoke German. Lightning will be there. Oh, that's going to be rough on your ears. Super Steve.
We got a winner!
There he is. There's Lightning. Nicole Alvarez, Miss Double December herself will be there. All happens starting at 11 a.m. If you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number 10. No. Caller number 10?
Good.
Caller number 10 will be our lucky winner.
I think we have a wiener.
We do have a wiener. It's the guy pressing that button for that sound file.
How dare you?
Ah, this is good news. Barbie is quitting SeaWorld.
Barbie is quitting SeaWorld.
Finally, she's giving up her gig there. Mattel Toys has announced they're stopping making SeaWorld Barbie. Huh. Apparently, she used to be a trainer there at SeaWorld. One of her many gigs.
Okay.
Bitch can't keep a job, by the way. She's always doing different things. But under pressure from people who don't like to see whales effed up. I think that's an official organization.
Yeah.
The people who don't like to see whales effed
up. It could be.
PETA and other organizations say... you know, enough with the SeaWorld thing. Maybe Barbie should move on and stop working this. So they're not going to make SeaWorld Barbie anymore. She won't be training orcas anymore there at SeaWorld. That'll help. Man.
Should take care of it.
Today, Juliana Margulies, one of my favorites, gets her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You know her, of course, from ER back in the day. Of course, the...
Why are you crying?
Last night was rough.
ER?
It's 2 hours.
This morning is rough.
How wasn't that Grey's Anatomy, though, last night?
Yeah. ER.
Are we talking about ER?
I know, but then I think of surgeries and I think of death.
What is happening?
Well, are you high?
A little bit.
You sound low, actually.
Juliana Margulies was in ER, not Grey's Anatomy, so stop it.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
She's, of course, in The Good Wife now, and the season finale of her show is scheduled for Sunday, May 11th. She'll be there getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame with one of her Good Wife co-stars. Michael J. Fox will be there. And Les Moonves, president of the CBS network.
Great man.
Who does great work.
Yeah,
and
work.
CBS is perhaps the most loving, caring, giving organization that you can find.
He is a dick.
No, he's not, Kevin.
Why would you say that about
you?
Our boss when he's in town
he's
and listening?
He's our boss.
Jeez.
How dare you?
When he's in town, especially when he's in town, even though he works here and lives here in Los Angeles. Today he's in town for some reason.
I thought he was based in New York.
No, he's not.
No. He is a dick.
He is not, Kevin. He's a good man. Nice guy.
Feed is playing that soundbite, just for the record.
Would you like to put that in the record?
I would.
Have your attorney.
Do we have a record?
Have your attorney raise an objection.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening 11:30 a.m. at 6621 Hollywood Boulevard. If you want to go down there and cheer on Juliana Margulies, there's your choice.
She's in Grey's Anatomy?
No, never was. Okay. Not
same
once.
Thing, though.
It's not the same thing at all.
Yeah, it is.
Let's say you're Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yes.
And you win your boxing match against Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
I believe Floyd's payday for the fight is going to be...
$120 million, I heard.
I heard 100, yeah.
$120 million?
What?
That's what I heard. I don't know.
If he wins, his lawyer says he'll bail out Suge Knight from jail.
Yeah.
He's got enough money to bail him out now.
That's what I'm thinking. And, by the way, if he doesn't win, he still gets paid the same amount.
Even if he loses, he gets $120 million?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So why does he have to win? Suge's like, hey, just do it.
Right.
Bail is set at $10 million, reduced from $25 million. They're having a sale over there.
Wow, who knew?
Apparently, yeah. And his attorney said, they're good friends. Suge said, man, I was really going to pull for him to win, but now I'm going to have to pray for him to win.
Doesn't Suge Knight seem like a guy who would be a definite flight risk?
Yes. Let me explain it, Kevin. Kevin, Suge said, man, I was really going to pull for him to win, but now I'm going to have to pray for him to win.
Because he gets out of jail.
Because Mayweather has said if he wins, he will get Suge out of jail.
Okay.
Any of this getting through?
So he wants him to win even more than he did before. Mm. You've got a personal investment in
him. He would be even gooder if that were to happen. You all right?
He is a dick.
Oh, come on. It's just... Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jamie Dornan. He is 33 years old today. Isn't he Christian Grey?
He is.
Yeah. He likes to do naughty things. Tie you up. Put Tabasco in your eyes or something. I don't know. I never read the book. But
he's also the star of They Do.
Sounds painful.
An excellent series called The Fall, if you ever get a chance to see that on Netflix. It's
okay.
Really good.
Okay, that's a show. All right. There's a show called The Fall. Oh, I like watching the summer. Me, I'm a winter man. Stop it. It's not a show. Julie Benz. Remember Julie Benz? She was Mrs. Dexter for a while.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Lovely and talented actress. 43 years old today. Director.
She took the wrong bath.
Haven't we all done that at some point in our lives? Maybe it's just me.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. No.
Wes Anderson's 46 years old today. Singer Tim McGraw, country legend. And, of course, son of the legendary Tug. The Tugger.
That's right. Tug Philadelphia McGraw. Philly great.
That's right. Gotta believe. 48 years old today. And singer Ray Parker Jr. is 61. We don't have any time here for the story, but we like to celebrate Ray Parker Jr.'s birthday every year by talking about how he threw ice cream on Mrs. Bean's face. It's good times.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
What?
He's 61 years old today.
Yep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend RJ Bell in Las Vegas talks Mayweather-Pacquiao coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning, and then actor Kevin Pollak will be here as well. First, though, speaking of acting and movies and whatnot, it's Friday. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Struck me this morning that Kevin Pollak and I co-starred in a movie together.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Was he in Two for the Money?
Nope. One of my other films, Kevin.
Was he in the Million Ways to Die in the West?
Nope. One of my other films, B.
Ted?
Nope. One of my other films, Allie.
Wow. This
is makes it sound like I have a career, doesn't
sure
it?
Does.
Sure does.
Yeah.
It
really can.
It's Bobby!
No, Bobby was from my television career.
Right.
Talking about feature film career.
We don't have time to get on all the Ralph's TV roles.
Red State. He was in Red State. Kevin Smith's Red State. He was also in that.
All right.
So we have that in common.
Did you share any scenes together?
Not even a little bit. He was with the
A-list team.
The Bureau of Firearms, Tobacco, Firearms, what's that?
Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms?
Yeah, ATF. Outside the compound, we were the religious lunatics on the inside. So I was busy killing people on the inside.
I see.
He was standing outside with John Goodman saying, how do we stop these people? Nice work, ATF.
So Kevin Pollak wasn't there the day you were on set.
I was on the set for weeks.
Oh,
I believe
okay.
His day on the set was not the same day as
I
mine.
I see. So they just didn't go on set. I got you.
Right.
Well, that's nice. That'll be a nice reunion, I guess.
Dick. Let's talk about real movies that are out this weekend, shall we? How about Far From Men? This is getting a lot of critical acclaim. It's in limited release. Stars Viggo Mortensen as a French teacher in a small Algerian village during the Algerian War, who forms an unexpected bond with a dissident and then is ordered to turn him into the authorities. You know how rough the Algerian War was for all of us.
Oh, my God, it's crazy.
And so you can imagine for a French teacher being there and having to deal with those issues, It was emotionally devastating. You can tell from this clip from Far From Men that it is just, this movie is gut-wrenching. Here's a quick scene from Far From Men.
Et qu'est-ce que tu fais sur le plateau?
Ma façon à moi de m'engager, c'est de faire la classe à mes élèves. Mm.
Je tire la main! Jetez vos armes! Avancez vers nous! Mm. Main sur la tête!
Vous avez tué des hommes qui sont rendus. C'est un crime de guerre.
Right.
Tes frères sont peut-être morts ou partis, mais t'es vivant! Oh.
Wow!
Look at the Lord.
You are all going to die tonight.
Wow, that is.
I did not see that coming.
That's powerful stuff. Those guys are really.
Hey, does Vigo show.
For him to say that about him in that situation, right. I thought was just really.
Inappropriate.
Man's inhumanity to man right there.
I don't understand that.
What?
Does
Kevin?
Vigo show LaTeil in this movie? Do we know?
LaTeil? No, I don't believe he shows LaTeil.
Allie, did you know that he has a tail like Stryker?
Didn't know.
Viggo Mortensen, yeah.
No.
He does.
Wow. Is it like stumpy or is there actual like
No, it's got a point at the end of it. It's got a
and
fork.
It wags.
It's got a fork at the end of it actually. He uses it to eat.
What happened to the show?
I'm not sure if it was totally
music,
like shaved away so you couldn't see anything or if
it's prehensile.
Out.
He can he can hang from a branch with it.
He signs autographs with it on the street.
Does he have opposable thumbs as well or
he
what?
Does have opposable
does.
Thumbs,
okay.
Yes. There's the music. It took a while for it to come back.
I was trying to figure out why.
I thought if I faded it in, no one would realize. But
that we didn't have it to have 30 seconds?
That happened. I have to turn it down while I'm playing the clip.
I understand.
Sometimes.
But then you knew the clip was over at some point, right?
At some point when they stopped speaking French, did you realize we had stopped taking a look at that film?
No.
Okay. Ride is a new film from director Helen Hunt. How about that?
All right.
Director Helen Hunt. She's directing now,
right.
And she's got a movie called Ride.
Right.
That's directed by Helen Hunt.
Right.
Starring Helen Hunt. How did she get her? She's an in-demand actress. How did she get Helen Hunt to star?
First-time director gets an Oscar winner to star in her film?
Crazy!
Wow.
Brenton Thwaites is also in this film. Luke Wilson is about a mother who is not the greatest mom in the world. She travels cross-country to California to be with her son, after he decides to drop out of college and become a surfer. She, in order to try to reconnect with him, learns how to surf herself. And there's an important lesson about love and life that's learned on the waves. Here's some clips from the trailer of Ride.
He's going to kill me for starting to decorate. But I also know if the room looks nice, he's more likely
he dropped
to...
out.
What are you doing here?
I'm living my life.
This is interesting to me, and you could never do it.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I think you should get an instructor.
I live in the most challenging city in the country. I can navigate a few small waves in sunny Santa Monica.
That goes on your leg.
You were once a 20-year-old male person. What did you want from your mother?
For her to want nothing from me and to live her life.
Oh, Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson, right? Who's with me?
Yeah.
When does Robert Downey Jr. come in?
No.
Mm.
Welcome to me. This looks terrific. I hope it doesn't get lost in all the Avengers phenomenon over the weekend because people should go see this film. Stars Kristen Wiig as a disturbed young lady named Alice Klieg who is got some mental issues. She's on psych meds. She's sort of been tamped down by medication in order to control her issues. Then she wins the Mega Lotteries. The Mega Millions Lottery. Wins like $100 million. Decides to quit her meds and buy her own talk show. So she can go on television and talk about herself.
This looks so fun.
That sounds awesome.
Funny, quirky, weird, hilarious. Kristen looks to be in great form here. James Marsden's also in the film. Linda Cardellini, Wes Bentley. Just an amazing cast. Tim Robbins is in this film. It looks outstanding just from the little bit that I've seen. I think you will think so, too, as you listen to this scene. This is Kristen Wiig talking to her therapist, Tim Robbins, who is concerned about her because she has stopped her meds. But she's a new person thanks to the lottery.
Like Oprah, but with a swan boat.
Talk show.
All right, well, how about a little recap? In case you missed last week's episode of the Alice Klieg Show, here's
what's
going on.
It's not the name of it.
You're off your meds. You just spent $15 million, you're living in a reservation casino, and you're hosting your own talk show. I thought I asked you not to eat.
It's a banana. It's in its own container.
It's in its own container. I want to see this now.
She's a great actress.
She's great, and everyone connected with this project seems to be top shelf. And so it looks like if you're looking for something small and interesting and quirky, after you've seen the big blockbuster this weekend, maybe Welcome to Me is the film for you. But of course, it's all about Ultron.
Yay!
Avengers Age of Ultron opens up this weekend to much fanfare. All the boys are back. Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, Thor. Now they're joined by the Vision, by Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver. Ow!
Yeah.
Looks so good.
Yes, it does.
And Ultron now is the villain. Ultron. Ultron's a robot built by Tony Stark to protect the Earth, but things go horribly wrong when he decides that in order to protect the Earth would be better off without human beings on it. Mm. That's what Ultron decides. That does not spell good news for human beings.
No, it does not.
So the Avengers have to step in and try to take care of him and his evil plans. Here's a scene from Avengers Age of Ultron where Ultron, played by the spectacular James Spader, says he's here to save the world.
Everyone creates the thing they dread. Men of peace create engines of war. Invaders create Avengers. People create smaller people. Children. I lost the word there. Children. Designed to supplant them. To help them end.
Is that why you've come? To end the Avengers?
I've come to save the world. But also... yeah.
Also, yeah. He's the best! The big robot Red Reddington.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie is going to make all money this weekend.
It only looks good on every level.
Yeah, so you want to check that out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Hey, Lightning, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Girl.
I haven't learned her name yet either, by
right,
the way.
Right, Sally.
Hey, I know why you're here. It's another time for another edition of Lightning Strikes, but before we get into that, I want to mention that once again, Lightning is going to be joining a bunch of other people from K-Rock at Kentucky Derby Day. It's going to be at Santa Anita. Ralph was talking about this last hour. We gave away some tickets. This K-Rock Beer Fest that goes on at Santa Anita is awesome, especially for a big race like this one, right, Lightning?
Oh, my gosh. We had 13,000 people at the last one, and the racing wasn't even that big. This is a major race. So, yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful day under the sun. It's free to get in. We take over the whole, like, over half the infield at Santa Anita. It's really a fun time. A lot of beer, a lot of food.
I'm going to give away a shirt if somebody eats their own shoe.
I'm not saying that I had a leaf blower contest last time, but
what
I might
have.
What did
you do with a leaf blower?
A leaf blower contest?
I don't think we want to know, do
we? No, you really don't.
What was the topic of the new Lightning Strikes?
So I was inspired by Santa Anita, and then I was out of Coachella, and, you know, people are drinking, having a really good time, and I was in a conversation with someone about beer mug. And they're like, I don't know how it came up. Like, that thing about beer mug, he wasn't really sleeping in a bush after a night of drinking, was he? And so we got into this conversation. I said, yeah.
The answer to that is yes.
That happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I said, and Kevin really tried to steal a car, and Dave almost
how
got kicked out of a concert. And I woke up in a hotel hallway in my underwear. And
right.
I think there's so many bizarre stories. I said, you know, this seems to be kind of a common theme with us and the K-Rock listeners that we drink and weird things happen. So I figured I might as well, you know, bring the microphone out and get some wacky stories about people and their drunkenness.
It's time for a lightning strike.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say hey!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
What's the craziest thing you've done while drunk?
I knocked my teeth out, actually.
How'd you do that?
So I was biking drunk, and the handlebar clipped a tree. I flew over, ate the concrete, knocked out three teeth.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done while drunk?
I had sex here last year. Yeah, during Muse.
Oh, really?
That's in the middle of the crowd.
The craziest thing I've done while drunk? It was actually stupid. I rode a street bike.
Oh, look at that scar!
It was
was not good. Don't let people coax you. Don't let people try and trick you into drinking and driving or anything like that. It's not cool. It's not smart. It's not fun.
How many bones in your arm did you break?
I broke two of them. I still have metal plates and pins in there.
What's the craziest thing you've done while drunk?
Probably taking off my clothes and dance on the rooftop.
What rooftop?
My rooftop, my house.
Wait, this is the first time you've been on your roof drunk, dancing naked?
Yeah, and the last, because it's dangerous and scary.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done while drunk?
Oh, I climbed a 3-story building from the face, climbed through a friend's window.
How did you get up?
Grabbed onto windowsills and balconies and scaled it like Spider-Man.
And why?
I just thought it would be funny if I showed up knocking on the window on the 3rd story.
And what was the response when you finally knocked on the window?
My neighbors opened up the window and we had a few more drinks inside.
No! What's the craziest thing you've done while drunk?
I was like an orgasmic cloud and I may or may not have made love to a chip.
Wait, a chip meaning like a Dorito?
We're going to like exclude brands. I did some foul things to this chip. But there was some salsa going on. It got around like the Napoleon area, and it just went crazy from there, bro.
I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone that's made love to a chip before.
It was an awesome experience. It was crunchy yet soft at the same time, and it got kind of wild, bro.
Just too weird for my brain to handle.
The craziest thing I've done while drunk is put down newspaper in a hotel room and pee on it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I really did. It was my 21st birthday. I was in New York City. I was going to a bunch of speakeasies, and I went home blacked out with an Uber. And I ended up waking up, and all the newspaper was totally wet, and underneath it was dry. So I'm like, I must have put down newspaper and peed on it.
You have a pet?
No, I was in a hotel room by myself.
No, I'm asking you how you got the idea to lay down
newspaper. Oh, yeah, I have a pet. Yeah, I have a dog. I was just potty training. That's a good idea. That's funny. That's hilarious.
What's the craziest thing you've done while drunk?
I would say conceive a kid.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
So there you go.
Wow. Excellent.
Making love to a chip and peeing on newspapers. Those are two of the craziest things ever.
Right?
Did that man say his Napoleus
he did.
Area?
Yes.
Yes.
Talking about Napoleus.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, great work, first of all.
Oh, thank you.
Secondly, if you want to join Lightning and Stryker and Nicole and Dave King of Mexico and Omar and Miss Double December, you can go to Gate 6 for free parking and free admission into the infield. 21 and up to enter the infield area. That's going to be at Santa Anita to watch the Kentucky Derby tomorrow.
Make some drunken stories of your own.
Well done, Mike. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Fridays are for suckers.
That's mean, Rodney.
Yeah, right, Rodney.
We're just trying to enjoy ourselves and get into the weekend. Come on, Rodney.
Suck a DJs.
Why are Fridays for suckers?
You know,
can't imagine.
Kevin.
In what world would he say that?
Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Friday. Sorry, Rodney. Here's Ralph.
Why is Chip a piece of S? I don't know what's going on. What's the problem?
Chip is torturing myself and Allie.
Why? What
because
happened?
She is a Ducks fan. And
right.
In the playoffs, and they look great. And so she's been posting pictures in my locker, and Omar's wearing a jersey that he never wore before, and she puts pictures in my headphones.
She's been taping pictures.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Every place I look, it was on my computer when I came in. I just hate her.
It's a hostile work environment,
it
quite
is.
Frankly.
Well, someone's going to HR after the show.
The Kings not doing well in their series? Is that what the problem is? I really haven't been following.
The Kings are having a lot of fun in Las Vegas. I know that.
Wow. Zing. Again, hurtful.
Shut up, Ralph. You're not a Ducks fan
love
either.
Love the Ducks for years. You know, I've been always down there at the pond.
You're a Flyers fan.
I'm
You've always been
pond.
A Flyers. You've
I'm
never been at
the pond.
The pond. Have you ever seen a game at the pond?
Yes.
Was it a Kevin and Bean night?
Yes.
Okay.
If you knew we had Kevin and Bean night at the pond, why would you
ask me
about
it? Because I forgot that we
one?
Had it, because we haven't had it in a long time. But then it occurred to me that we did at one point.
You're the best. Sad news I bring you as we get into the Showbiz Beat. Legendary R&B singer and songwriter Ben E. King has passed away. Best known for singing and co-composing the classic hit song, Stand By Me. A top 10 hit back in 1961 and again in 1986 when it was featured in the cult film of the same name featuring River Phoenix and our buddy Jerry O'Connell. Stand
Hollywood
by
Treasure.
Me. Hollywood Treasure, Jerry O'Connell. Stand By Me, you know the song. Here's a little taste.
So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me.
That song and movie were so popular in the UK, it went to number one in the charts in 1987, thanks to that film. The song has charted 9 times in the U.S. over the years, twice his version, 7 times from cover artists, including the late John Lennon, famously covered the song as well. So he has passed away at the age of 76.
Kevin, you have to hate that song, right?
I'm not a huge fan, but...
How can you not love that song?
I don't know. I don't know.
Just granola bars, that's all.
I don't
just
hate
Paul
it.
Paul Blart.
I don't hate
Paul,
it, I just don't
if
like
it. If it was Stand By Paul Blart, I would like it.
That's true.
Those ducks. Look at those ducks overhead. Hi, ducks.
This could be a long couple of months.
Just saying those ducks haven't lost a game in like 3 weeks. It's kind of crazy.
Move on.
William Shatner has a plan to save California. Who else but Captain Kirk would come to our rescue? God bless him.
Look, there's nothing Captain Kirk can't do.
And he's showing that once again. It's genius. He is going to fight California's catastrophic drought, now in its fourth year, with a genius idea. Shatner has told Yahoo News he's going to raise $30 billion on Kickstarter.
I'm sorry, you said $30 billion.
You heard me.
What did you mean?
$30 billion via Kickstarter.
$30 billion.
Via Kickstarter to build what he calls the Water Highway, a pipeline which will run along the I-5 interstate that will bring water from Seattle to Lake Mead in California. Genius. There goes our drought problem. Boom. Over.
Done. Start watering your lawns every day.
Shower for an hour with friends. Just go at it. Just have a good time.
Should we wait until it gets built, or we could just start showering now?
It's going to be just, look, $30 billion, what's that? Going to take a month?
Well, if I get Zach Braff behind it, I can right? do it in 2 days.
Then you build it. I don't know. You get a bunch of, go down to Home Depot, get some day laborers, you knock it out. I don't know.
Probably a week.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Two if you give them long lunches.
Okay.
One little hiccup.
What's the snag?
Drawback. Washington State has said, hey, it's our water.
We're not getting our water?
No. Huh. We got our own problems with drought.
Does Washington have a drought as well?
Yes.
Apparently they
yes,
do.
Yes, we do. Huh. Our snowpack's at 20% right now of what it's supposed to be.
But we have worse problems than
you do. Well, you live in a desert.
So then give us the water, damn
right.
it.
Stop hoarding your
Captain
water.
Captain Kirk says give us the water. It's like we're coming to your planet, we're the Federation, you're some lesser species, and we say, hey, look, I'm going to blast you with a phaser if you don't give me this stuff.
You can either
stuff.
Give it or we'll take it. Boom. I think that's what we're saying.
Right. Boom.
I just don't want to be one of the guys who beams that in the red shirt that you never see again.
You are. You are that guy.
It's always one or two guys that are only sent down to the planet surface because they're going to die.
A state official from Washington calls Shatner's idea highly illogical.
Wow.
Which William Shatner said.
He didn't.
F you. So, there's ducks again flying overhead. Hi, ducks. Hiya. So not all the kinks have been worked out, but I think it's a good plan. I think it's not a good plan, but it's an okay plan.
It's not even an okay plan.
Not an awful plan.
It's an awful plan.
It's not. Hey, Monty Python Spamalot is coming to the Hollywood Bowl for a... You okay?
Be silently cheering. I saw this yesterday. It's awesome. Eric Idle's the best.
Monty Python Spamalot's coming to the Hollywood Bowl. It's going to be a special event, 3 performances only, happening at the end of July and then August 1st and 2nd as well. It's a star-studded cast. Looks like it's going to be very funny. Meryl Danridge will play the Lady of the Lake. If you've ever seen Spamalot, you know it's a great role. Warwick Davis. Little Warwick Davis. Willow. Ewok.
Yeah, he's wicked.
He's going to play Patsy. Jesse Tyler Ferguson of Modern Family will play Sir Robin. Eric Idle. Of course, the genius behind Spamalot will be the historian of the piece. And as King Arthur, Craig Robinson.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
That's going to be pretty awesome. So it's happening at the Hollywood Bowl. 3 performances only. Tickets go on sale, I believe, Sunday. Yes, Sunday, May the 3rd at 10 a.m. If you want to get your tickets, they can be purchased in person at the Hollywood box office, Hollywood Bowl box office, or online. But it's going to be a great event. It's going to sell out quick. So check it out if you want to go. I want to go. Today's celebrity birthday is Jamie Dornan. He is 50 Shades of Grey. He's also 33 years old. Julie Benz is 43. Wes Anderson, the very talented director, is 46. Tim McGraw turns 48. And singer Ray Parker Jr. is 61. Ray Parker Jr. Bean
Yes.
Once attended a theme park.
Yeah, Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain. And it was a hot day, I'm assuming. Wanted
that's
some,
right.
Some a cool, sweet treat to cool off.
That's right.
So he went over to the young lady who was selling ice cream.
I think she was about 16 or so. She would one day grow up to become my wife. But that particular day, she was just in her smock working at Magic Mountain. And Ray Parker Jr. threw a little bit of a tantrum when he insisted on a free extra scoop because he was Ray Parker Jr. He's willing to pay for the first one, but hey, how about doubling up for me, baby?
Wow.
Mrs. Baxter said, I'm sorry, we don't do that because, of course, she didn't have the authority to give away free food and risk losing her job at the theme park. Mr. Ray Parker Jr. took the ice cream in his hand and hurled it at her face.
Ew.
And may have said some unpleasant words to her as well as he threw the ice cream at her and stormed away.
And so as a result, Bean, you said, I will never listen to another Ray Parker Jr. song ever again. Is that correct?
I'm a big fan of his music and enjoy his records often.
Bean is fine with it all. He's all good.
It has not dimmed his enthusiasm
not a bit.
One iota.
Not even a little bit.
Nope.
I certainly don't support what he did to Donna. It was an awful, inappropriate thing to do.
Right.
But that doesn't mean Ghostbusters isn't an awesome song.
Sure.
Too.
Who are you going to call?
Right. Exactly. So we do love to tell that story once a year.
I'm going to call it Cream Thrower. That was the original title of that song before he changed it to Ghostbuster. He is 61 years old today and probably torturing some other teenager at a Baskin-Robbins. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Been a long time since I can recall a sports weekend like this one. Of course, the NBA playoffs are going on. The NHL playoffs are going on. The NFL draft is going on. Major League Baseball is in full swing. The Kentucky Derby is this weekend. And there's the matter of a little boxing match going on in Las Vegas over the weekend, too. RJ Bell is the founder of Pregame.com, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock from Sin City to talk to us about what's going on with the fight. RJ, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. Big weekend. Happy to be on.
Las Vegas used to have a lot of fight nights like this. It's been a long time since there's been this kind of enthusiasm over boxing in your city, hasn't there?
Well, I'm going to agree with you on one hand, and I'm going to disagree on the other. Yes, there used to be a lot of big boxing matches, spotlights, countries kind of talking about it. And you can go back to Tyson, Holyfield. You can go back to some De La Hoya fights. But then you said like this. And I would make the case, no, it's not like this. This is a historic weekend for Vegas. I've been here since 98. Nothing comes close to what I've seen the last few days and what I'm hearing is going to happen the next few. And on the side of the sports books with the betting, this is not only, you know, you might say, is this going to be the biggest bet fight of all time? That answer is so clearly yes. I can tell you the following. This fight will have double the betting, 200%, double the betting of any fight in Nevada history.
Wow.
It's that big.
Why do you suppose that is, RJ?
Well, I think some of it is that we've been yearning, at least boxing fans or even peripheral boxing fans have been yearning for to go back to the old times, to go back to that spectacle. And, you know, not even that this is Vegas related, but if you're even a casual boxing fan, you know, you heard about Ollie Frazier, you saw Frank Sinatra in the first row, Woody Allen, Diane Keaton. I mean, those are iconic images. And it's been quite a while since we've had anything even close to that. And this actually is achieving that level. And I think because of that, it's self-perpetuating. It was going to be a big fight no matter what, but now we're talking so much about how big it is that it's becoming even bigger.
Are you with a lot of boxing fans who say, yeah, I'm curious to see this. I've been wanting it for a long time, but man, I wish it had been 5 years ago.
Yes, but I'll tell you, the guys I talk to who are really boxing experts, and that's not me. I'm a fan. I can't break down, oh, this guy's hook's going to, you know, be very effective and all that. But the guys who can, I've talked to them, and here's the point they make, and it's a great one, is as you get a little bit older as a boxer, you can usually hit almost as well. You just can't avoid the hits almost as well. But what does that equate to? That equates to more hitting. And if you think about Ollie Frazier 3, the Thriller in Manila, that was the last fight between them. They were the oldest, and it was by far the most action, one of the most action-packed fights of all time. I think you're going to see maybe not the highest level of fighting you would have seen 5 years ago between these guys, but I think you might see more action between these guys because they've each slowed down just enough. The other one can probably hit them more than they would have been able to 5 years ago.
All right, let me ask you, and you just said you're not a boxing expert, but neither am I. But I want to ask you a question about that. Mayweather doesn't fight, and that drives me crazy. He plays defense, he counterpunches, but he just won't, you know, put himself out there. Do you think he will this time?
Absolutely not. Because here's the thing. One, if you've gotten to be 47-0 doing a certain thing, wouldn't it make sense that on your with your biggest fight of all time, you're going to do something different? Number two, why? What is the game? If you win the fight, if you're a fighter, and you win the fight with, let's say, a safe approach, let's agree with your premise.
Okay.
Now the question becomes, what do you gain from doing otherwise? Well, you gain notoriety. You gain following. They might say, yeah, you can win this way, but no one's going to care to come watch your fights. Well, Mayweather, outside of the ring, is able to generate so much interest. It's a beautiful business model. Inside the ring, he's super safe, so he wins. But outside the ring is where he generates the business, so it's a win-win for him because he doesn't have to take the risks you might have to get a lot of attention if you're an average fighter because he's so compelling outside of the ring.
Interesting. This is the voice of our friend RJ Bell here on the Kevin DeBean Show at pregame.com, where you can go to find odds and analysis of every sport. RJ, how much truth is there in the rumors we've heard throughout the years about the kind of betting that Floyd does in Las Vegas?
You know, there's a lot of it. Now, what I can't, there's a lot of truth to it. And what I can't tell you is exactly like, oh, he bet so-and-so team here and he bet $7 million here. What I can say that's actually contradictory is the rumors that sometimes start on the internet that he bet like $8 million on an NBA game. Those are almost always false because they're just counterintuitive to like the NBA. You can't bet $8 million in Vegas no matter what you do. So the fact that he would have is impossible. But I've heard from guys I really respect. This is a guy that bets millions of dollars a year in aggregate on sports. And the rumor I've heard, and again, this is from a few sources, but let's put it out there as something that's the scuttlebutt, not fact, but he loses a lot of money. If you add it all up, the belief in town is, from guys that should know, is he's a big loser on those millions of dollars of bets.
He can certainly afford it, though, can't he? What kinds of bets? We talk to you sometimes about football prop bets. What kinds of things can I bet on in Las Vegas on this fight Saturday night?
Now, what's interesting is compared to the Super Bowl, it's so much more of the betting is on the plane, who's going to win the fight. So,
how's that going in Vegas?
Well, there's a clear – this is probably – for those who are interested in betting the fight, this is going to be the most actionable information because what we've got here is a clear divide between the public and the professionals. What you've got is almost – every public bet, and I mean like 80%+ of those public bets have been on Pacquiao. And here's why. People love big names. You've got that with Pacquiao. And they also love to bet a little to win a lot. Well, with Pacquiao, he's a big underdog. 100 wins you 180. So you get a nice jumbo payoff if this big name wins. So the public has been heavy on Pacquiao. The flip side is, the professionals are not afraid to bet a lot to win a little. They've got to bet 200 to win 100 on Mayweather, and a vast majority or strong majority of the professionals have been on Mayweather. So if you want to bet with the pros, look to Mayweather, public, bet and Pacquiao.
That's so interesting to me. And we've talked before, RJ, about how a lot of the public votes with their heart. And I think that Pacquiao is so likable. People root for him, and Mayweather has a reputation of being such a dick.
There is that element too, is even amongst the media here in town, the guys that follow the boxing really closely, usually you would think these guys are impartial, and they are 99% of the time, but Mayweather just over time and all of the incidents has really soured a lot of people. But you also have a lot of people, when you walk around the MGM, you see the Team Money Mayweather gear everywhere because he's kind of an anti-hero to some. He's an outlaw, and I think we can agree in this society there's a big contingent that likes an outlaw, and I think Mayweather, most of those types are backing Money Mayweather.
Kevin, tell RJ your biggest fear about tomorrow night.
It's going to be a draw because if this is a big payday, then that'll be a second big payday. It'll just be a rematch. They'll call it a draw. No one will win. They'll reschedule another fight.
Can we bet on that? Can we bet on it being a draw, RJ?
I tell you, this is probably the most fast. It's almost like we had a pre-production show here. We didn't. We did this with none of that. But you asked the key question, actually, because check this out. So a draw is very unlikely to happen. You think about how a draw happens is one judge says one fighter wins, one judge says the other fighter wins, and one judge says it's a tie. So that happens very rarely. When the betting opened up on a draw, it was 22-1. So let's say $100 could have won you $2,200, right? Huge long shot.
Right.
Because of that conspiracy theory, and that's been a main driver of this betting, it's been bet all the way down to 8-1, the draw. So imagine that, 22-1, all the way down to 8-1. One guy bet $100,000 to win, and now to win $950,000. So he got it at 9.5-1 on a draw. So one guy will win almost $1 million with one ticket if it's a draw. And again, the driver of that has been a conspiracy theory of a lucrative rematch if there is a draw.
It's that, but it's also a distrust of this sport and the
Absolutely.
People in it.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the premise of the conspiracy theory, is it's not just random, but they're going to influence it some way.
I love it. RJ, you always have such great stuff. We always appreciate your time. Pregame.com is where you want to go for this and so much more. RJ, I hope we get a chance to talk soon. Have a great weekend in Las Vegas. Enjoy the fight, sir.
My pleasure.
Doesn't happen often enough, but it's always a thrill when it does. Kevin Pollak in studio with us, director, screenwriter, actor, comedian. Mr. Pollak, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, sir. How are you?
Thank you. Please be seated. That's too kind.
You got a lot of titles after your name.
Too many hyphens. That's the name of my third book. Too many hyphens.
I like it. Misery Loves Comedy is the latest movie. We are going to be talking about that in a minute. This is unusual, unlike anything Mr. Pollak has ever done before. But you were telling us as you slid in here and sat down that you're working on what sounds like a great Todd Phillips project right now.
It's called Arms and Dudes with Jonah Hill and Miles Teller.
There was some crazy name dropping going on about 30 seconds ago.
Yeah. I can't. Well, listen, if you're going to be known as being pretentious, you've got to deliver. You can't just come in and not be. Isn't it what's expected at this point?
Absolutely.
No. Yeah. So I'm just doing a week on this movie. They're at it for at least 3 months, I think. It's my first time in the Todd Phillips world. The cinematographer on the film who did all the Hangover movies, I think he's done all of Todd movies, Larry Scheer, plays at my weekly poker game, which Kevin apparently refuses to do. But here's the important thing.
Not enough big stars in that game for Kevin.
Not enough name dropping going on.
Kevin's invited me. I just
but
haven't
I dig,
had time.
Yeah, that's right. That's
it's very
right.
busy.
Well, listen, you've got a thing in the morning, and it's always the same night midweek that I insist on doing this stupid game. So, so Jonah Hill, Miles Teller, are very cool.
Yes.
All my scenes are with them. And this Miles Teller kid, so we talked about the fact that I'm here promoting this documentary that I directed, and we'll get to that, of course. But the big thing news from the documentary is that it led to me being offered and asked and just signed to direct a comedy of someone's film.
No kidding.
Fantastic. Yeah. Unsolicited. I mean, I wasn't looking and it came along so, based on the hype and illusion of I'm a director now. So
I like the illusion.
Right. This also based on a true story. This guy, Ken Baker, wrote this book about he didn't hit puberty until the age of 30. Because they found a benign tumor resting on his pituitary gland. So imagine going through that puberty, exact same deal that you would at maybe, what, 12? At the age of 30.
Wow.
Fully grown man in every other capacity. A therapist, for God's sakes.
That seems sucky.
Yeah. So the second act is full of hijinks when he goes through the puberty suddenly. Can't stop touching areas.
Sure. Like you do.
So we got to find this 30-year-old who's such an innocent and sweetheart whose manhood hasn't come yet to play this part.
Right.
And, you know, everyone, all the producers, everybody plays the name game, right? Because they got to get somebody, as they say, moves the needle.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, does he move the needle?
Is that why there's so many, like, 6 movies a year by the hot actor or actress?
Yeah, the it person.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jason Statham has a movie every 16 weeks?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Have I taught you guys how to do Jason Statham? He says the same 6 words in a row faster than any human being on the planet.
Okay.
He reduces 6 words to 2 syllables.
Okay.
Actually. The six words are, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Which he says as, do you mean?
Oh. Sweet.
If I were you in that chair, you'd be dead in 30 seconds. Chow mein.
It's a time saver. Really.
Did you say chow mein? It sounded like you said chow mein.
And now I'll give you Liam Neeson in one word. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bananas.
All right, so you're looking for a 30-year-old. I feel like we got off track.
Yes.
You're looking for a 30-year-old who hasn't.
Yeah. Does this have something to do with Miles Teller?
Why would, why would I think you'd want me to come in here and do voices?
We're fine with that.
How absurd. So I got to find
a 30-year-old.
We're
track with your story.
Got to find a 30-year-old who moves a needle, and Jason Statham and Liam Neeson are too old. That's my point.
I see. Okay. All right.
Wasn't my point at all, but I brought it back together.
Now, does Miles Teller have anything to do with this puberty movie or no?
So I'm about to work with Miles Teller, and the producers say, you know who's perfect for this is Miles Teller. And I said, oh, my God, do you think we could get him? I'm about to work with him. And they said, well, you have to ask him. I said, all right, well, I'm working with him all week, so I'm not going to rush him.
Right.
Let him get to know me and like me, and then I'll hit him with the – I'll find out what he's working on. A guy like that's probably booked the next 16 months.
Yeah, after Whiplash, I'm sure his phone hasn't stopped ringing.
And the Insurgent movies, I think he's a part of.
There's that, too.
Way. And the Insurgent, and the next one was Detergent, I think.
I'm not positive. Yes.
So, day one of the film. Hey, guys. Jonah Hill. Hey, Jonah Hill's super cool. I watched a documentary last night, man. I downloaded it. I wanted to watch it before I saw you today. Wow, that's amazing. So we're talking about that. Hey, Miles. And then Miles comes up, and he's just manly, man. And I'm thinking, he's too manly. How can he play this kid whose puberty hasn't come yet? And then as the days go by, I realize he is like Miles' man. Like a superhero kind of walking around.
He does call himself, and other people call him the Miles Man.
Well,
that's a deal.
I'm just saying it's not fluky that that you experience that.
Okay.
Yeah. He called himself that?
Yes.
That's now my favorite part of the story.
Yes, he did. He's the Miles Man.
Yeah. What was the auspices of that?
I think he was going to South by Southwest.
He was in South by Southwest, and he said, that's what everybody says to me. Hey, Miles Man.
Ah.
Because we called him on it. He said, look for the Miles Man. And we're like, did you just call yourself Miles Man?
So well, he is a sweet, humble kid. I will say that. He's absolutely sweet and genuine. And that part of him I buy as a 30-year-old whose puberty has not come. But everything else about him is just manly, man.
So he is or is not going to have the role.
So I would kill for him to do it, but I feel like he's crazy too manly.
Mm. And somebody, the obvious choice, like a Michael Cera or something like that would be too on point. Is that the
Michael
problem?
Cera's on the nose and perfect and I think busy. So,
but he's probably also played that role, that type of role, so many times that neither of you would want that, right? I would think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we are out right now to someone who moves the needle in a big way.
Oh. Well, that's going to be Ron Funches.
Can't say who it is.
That's the only man I see for that.
Why would you guess that out of the shoot?
It was a weird choice. Ron's
all right, young. Kevin Pollak is here. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get. We'll dive deep into his new documentary that apparently is already getting him work. It's called Misery Loves Comedy. It's available on iTunes and VOD, and it is fascinating. And I think this is safe to say there is no film out in 2015 with more star power than your movie. Wouldn't you say that's true, Kevin?
I'll explain how that happened. It also opens in the theaters today in Los Angeles.
Fantastic. We'll talk all about that with our guest, Kevin Pollak, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Director, screenwriter, actor, comedian Kevin Pollak in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Misery Loves Comedy is the new movie that Kevin has directed. As you mentioned, it is opening in theaters today at the Los Angeles Sundance Sunset Cinema and in Santa Ana at the South Coast Village. You can also see it on VOD and on iTunes. It's a documentary about what, Kevin Pollak?
It's basically Talking Heads.
I love that band.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I love them, too. It's not about them. It's what they call a Talking Heads documentary where people are just talking. And it's almost 60 annoyingly famous funny people with a thesis, you have to be miserable to be funny. So it's Amy Schumer, and the list is
Tom Hanks, Jimmy Fallon, Judd Apatow, John Favreau, Lisa Kudrow, Larry David, Steve Coogan, Jim Gaffigan, Whoopi Goldberg. That's fewer than 10 of the 60. That's the star power we were talking about in this movie. How'd you get this many people?
And you left out Steve Coogan. Jim Jeffries, the list really is ridiculous. Jim Jeffries, for example, is so great in the movie because he can talk about really funny, incredibly funny stuff like he's talking about family and whatnot, and it leads him to seeing the basketball spinning unicycle riding family of 11 or 12 on America's Got Talent, and then he says, you know, that talent has got to be one person's passion in that family. What are the chances that more than one of them said, you too, I love spinning? So he finds that while talking about his own son.
So good.
And then later in the film talks about being on and off antidepressants and feeling with suicidal during his life. So, you know, funny people can't help but be hilarious when they're talking about misery, which is a joy for me as a director. So I just talked to them, and they spilled their guts. Judd Apatow talking about can't find happiness, really. Thought he would find it when his films succeeded. That was the plan. That was on paper. That was the deal. When the
right.
films, he said, I've had some films that didn't succeed, but the those that did, you know, I thought, well, this is where I'll find happiness, and found almost none. And then he said, I realize now I'm finding the happiness in the doing of it, in the filming and in the editing. That's when I feel happy. But I realize that's not healthy. So now I'm trying to find happiness in doing nothing, and I'm finding that very difficult. So, and then Freddie Prinze Jr. talking about his dad for the first time on camera. He was and is ridiculously charming and hilarious while doing so.
That was a fascinating segment.
Part.
Yeah. Wasn't that something,
yeah.
Ellie?
Yeah, just spectacular. And Kevin Smith. Talking about a dear friend.
Before you
his.
Move on, sure, how did sure. you get Freddie Prinze Jr. to open up about his dad when that's clearly he's made a choice to not discuss his father?
I'll see how that's your business.
Okay.
I actually worked on the movie with Freddie that he became a movie star from. She's All That. And I knew him from this little tiny drama, House of Yes, he did with Parker Posey, which I highly
Oh, that's a great movie. I watch it every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, do you?
Every Thanksgiving. That's that's the family tradition. It's a great movie.
It is. It's a little dark drama, and so of course you watch it every Thanksgiving.
Well, set at Thanksgiving for folks who haven't seen the movie.
It's spectacular. Anyways, I thought he was this great little dramatic actor. We ended up doing this movie, and he becomes a matinee idol, which tells you how old I am that I use a term like that. But we'd been stayed in touch all these years, and I sort of knew that he hadn't talked about it. And so when I was doing this documentary – and I was going to talk about the misery of comedy. I thought I have to ask him. I assume he won't say yes, but I have to ask him. He said, you know what? I've got a kid now, and he's had a second one since. And he said, I've got a kid now, a family. I'm ready to talk about it.
So he just was like, all right,
let's
fine.
Do it. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
But and opens up.
Kevin, we think of Freddie Prinze Sr. and Robin Williams is mentioned in the movie. And you think of Richard Jenny and other people who have, really struggled and ended up dying. Is that more common with people in comedy than in the general population? Or do we just think about it because they're famous people?
Mark Maron touches on it in the film by basically saying as soon as comedians started talking about their pain on stage, the general assumption was, oh, well, these people are crazy. And then Penn Teller points out that, you know, when Lenny Bruce decided, okay, this is what stand-up comedy going to be, we started talking about truth. Right. And then so I keep quoting everybody in the film because I don't want to take credit for the great things I said. Steve Coogan points out, you know, you've either told a universal truth, which is, oh, my goodness, you just shined a light on what it's like to be human.
Right.
So even when Seinfeld talks about the minutiae of losing a sock in the dryer, how many ever years ago that was one of his early bits, mm-hmm. that's still life's little annoyance, therefore misery. So comedians or songwriters or painters, we just have to find how to articulate either our own wildly personal misery, and then the audience is reviled maybe, and then eventually they're laughing.
Right.
Or a universal misery, and they go, oh, yeah, me too. This is horrible.
Was it difficult to get all of those people to talk about that?
You know, I've got a secret for you.
That's serious
stuff.
If
you want to get almost 60 annoyingly famous funny people in your film, here's how you do it.
Okay.
You don't pay them.
You don't pay them.
Wow. You don't give them anything. You don't pay them. Actually, the truth of it is, not only do you not pay them, but that means you don't have to talk to a single agent or manager.
So
that's how you get them.
Mm. Well, these are mostly huge. your friends, right? I would think.
No.
Your friends with – or
friendly.
Friend Lee with a bunch
friendly.
Of them, right?
Yeah, you know, doing the chat show, we just turned six, my internet living talk show thing. That, you know, a lot of the Rolodex names came through there. And it was one of the reasons I'm sure the producers came to me. In fact, I know it is. Other than having spent my life in stand-up comedy and knew that I wanted to direct, they knew that I'd been booking my own talk show and got some pretty heady names through the years.
And you did all of this in what, like 2 months or something too, right?
We shot four consecutive 5-day weeks, one in New York and three in L.A.
That's it. That's
whoever
amazing.
Whoever we got, of these free famous people. Whoever we got is who we got. You know, you got to have a schedule. And whoever said yes, we slotted them in. And then as we kept shooting, people kept saying yes, and then we just kept adding them to the schedule.
I had no idea Tom Hanks was a stand-up.
Well, he...
Zero.
He got into it only for the research for the movie Punchline.
Oh,
but he got deep into it. He got deep into it. And then he talks about it in my film about what a drug it becomes. And Jimmy Fallon talks about what a drug is. The truth is, America's number one fear above death is public speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
right?
True.
So those of us that do it don't fit into the public, just organically by math. And then children suffer from "Hey, look at me" disease because they're children; they need attention.
Right.
But adults clearly suffer from "Hey, look at me." Otherwise, Facebook is not a multi-billion-dollar company, right? So, but who chooses "Hey, look at me" as a career, as a devoting your life to, and guaranteed rejection all throughout your life?
Yes, yeah. That's the point. And a lot of your interview subjects talk about how bad they were and how bad it was for a long time to do comedy. But that speaks to the addiction they had to being on stage.
Yeah. So you're on stage for an hour, and you take the audience for a ride of your choosing. For an hour. That kind of power and control does not exist in life for a minute, let alone an hour.
Yes. We hear from everybody, and some think absolutely you have to have some sense of a horrible, miserable childhood life, whatever, to succeed at comedy. But we don't hear from you. We hear from you randomly a couple times in it. What do you feel?
It's a great question.
Been here an hour. Finally, the first good question he's been asked.
I think I just discovered I could do Jeff Goldblum in that moment.
It was very high.
Great question. why does he do that? Now I can do Jeff Goldblum in two words also. Great question. Here's the thing. I had almost 70 hours of footage when I got done with all of this.
Wow.
Without a script or a narrative, I had to create one. And I cut for 10 months. And I only stopped because of the Sundance Film Festival submission deadline, which is wildly crazy that we were accepted in, because 7,000 films get submitted to that festival. So we got our world premiere there, which was phenomenal. That's the only reason I stopped cutting, honestly, because it was a puzzle that I could put back together. There was no photograph on the side of the box of the puzzle pieces telling me what the hell this was supposed to look like. So in creating from 70 hours, 94 minutes, my opinion is formulated. So my opinion is everything literally that's in the film.
Interesting.
Everything that I – these little moments that they speak.
Is it a difficult balance because it's funny and it's tragic? And it seems like that balance would be difficult. Maybe somebody's talking too much about
– That's the thing, because I wanted to cut it as to be funny. I wanted it to be a comedy as a movie. But so then I found these chapters which allowed me to sort of guide you through the life and what it means. And then the third act is really just devoted to, do you have to be miserable? And I wanted also the every color of the rainbow of misery. So some people are and some people aren't. In the beginning, Who's Your Daddy and or Mommy is a chapter which talks about the influence or support you got from your parents. And right there you have an array. Wayne Fetterman, who's going to be at one of the Q&As tonight at the Sunset Theater you mentioned. He and Dana Gould, I think, are at the 7:30 showing. Jim Jefferies and I are doing the 4:30 because I got to go.
4:30.
I got to go back to work at the Todd Phillips movie. It's not important. Slipped it in.
Yeah.
And then Kevin, tomorrow night I'll also be at the – sorry, Saturday night. I think I'll be at the Q&A 7:30 also. I should mention I'll do a Q&A after the 7:30 show.
I'm only going to go see this if one of your interviewees confesses to masturbating in a church.
Mm-hmm. That was intriguing.
That
and
was shocking.
I did think pew too.
Why would somebody volunteer that information, Chris Hardwick?
Well, Chris Hardwick, I will finally confess on your show only. So one of the questions was, what is the fourth thing about you you'd rather no one know? Yeah. So why don't you guys go ahead and answer that. Now, the fun of this is, A, it's kind of supposed to be funny. What is the fourth thing? That's ridiculous. But also takes all the pressure off of thinking what's the one heinous thing I've ever done. And then it allows sort of a funny answer. So some of the things like when Matt Walsh towards the end says, in almost silence, I made a girl cry in college. And then he pauses for a moment thinking about it. And it's a really dry moment and a very straight face. And then eventually it makes him laugh and he says, I feel bad. It was just to sort of conjure these weird moments from people's lives that wasn't necessarily connected to the story or the
very funny
or the narrative. And it ended up with Chris Hardwick saying, I masturbated in a church once. And then I force him to tell the whole story.
And it's epic. Hey, Sundance Sunset Cinema, that's going to be opening up today, and you're going to be at two screenings tonight, as you said. Well, including the Senior Citizen afternoon
Senior
screening.
Citizen one at 4:30.
Yeah. And it's also playing at the South Coast Village Theater in Santa Ana. It's available on iTunes and VOD. The movie is called Misery Loves Comedy. Anyone who's at all interested in show business, you must see this. Follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin Pollak, and you can, of course, watch the Kevin Pollak Chat Show streaming live Sundays at 3 on KevinPollak'sChatShow.com. Been too long since we've seen you, man. Thanks so much for coming in.
Great to see you guys.
Although 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
I enjoyed the heck out of our visit with Mr. Kevin Pollak, but I have to tell you, that's behind us now because all I care about is beer mugs interviews from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-woo. We got a bunch of them, right, Kevin?
We do. He talks to a bunch of fighters. And he's mugs. He's very mugs.
You know, I'm a fighter.
He's a lot of mugs.
I fight with my girlfriend mostly. But still, I fight.
He talks to Roy Jones Jr., right?
Yep.
And Floyd Mayweather Sr.
Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of other people with the same names as other people in their family.
Yep.
And we've got those for you coming up right after the top of the hour. I can't wait. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
I'm a junior. Did you know that?
I did
Are
not
you
know
really?
That.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Hmm. You're a junior.
Learn something new every day.
Hmm. How come you never don't use it?
It's just superfluous.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you would use it if your father were in the business or whatever. Yeah,
my dad was a performer, or entertainer, or something. I would use it, but
it's on your birth certificate.
Not, yeah. Hmm.
I never ever knew that.
No, I just adopted it, Kevin. I just decided. I just between the confusion between my dad being Ralph and me being Ralph, I said I'm just going to call myself Junior to kind of separate myself from the pack.
When you were coming up, Ralph, did they call you Junior so that you would not be confused with your father?
No, I was little Ralph. He was big Ralph.
Gotcha.
When I was a kid. And then as I got to be in equal size, it became Ralph and Ralphie. I was Ralphie for a while.
Daddy's going to kill Ralphie. It was a Christmas story. Go on.
And then, then that was it.
Then you just became Ralph. Okay. Yeah.
But all right. Junior never really came to play.
Fun facts about Ralph Garman today.
There you go.
Kevin and Bean Show.
Time for the showbiz.
Speaking of
Here's
fun
Junior.
Facts, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Avengers Age of Ultron, not a bad kickoff at midnight last night, made $27.6 million at midnight last night.
Wow. Okay.
The numbers are in from North America. Those are the North American numbers.
Fridays are for suckers.
No, that's not true, Rodney, at all.
I don't think that's the point.
How do you think this will do against driving one? What's wrong with
Fury
you?
Driving
now?
One.
Thank you. Something. Seriously,
Fury 7?
Don't answer.
Well,
that.
If you take this number and extrapolate it out, it's on its way to a record-setting $207 million for the opening weekend. That's what they're estimating.
Wow.
Given this number, so. They know the math. They know the formula, and that's what they're guessing is going to make over $200 million for the weekend.
Hey, how is it, by the way? Does anyone know?
Biggest movies ever. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know.
I haven't seen it yet.
What's the word on the street? I mean, obviously
Huggy Bear. Huggy
Bear
says. He was talking to Starsky and Hutch, and he said, it's good, man.
Okay.
I haven't asked anyone on the street.
Nicole Alvarez tweeted last night. She saw it, and she said it exceeded every expectation.
Well, wonderful. There you go.
Yeah.
That's the best you can hope for. Right?
I want a good movie.
Kevin wants a good movie, so I hope he gets it, because he should. Speaking of movies and comic books and things of that ilk, don't forget, this weekend is Free Comic Book Day.
Sure.
So you can celebrate in North Hollywood. Blast Off Comics is having their Blast Off Comic Fest, where they take over the Federal Bar in North Hollywood from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday and just get faced. While you're reading comic books and meeting some of the creators, that'll be a good time. And then on Sunday, over at Golden Apple Comics, they are doing a great event with Gotham. Both Ben McKenzie and David Mazouz, who plays Bruce Wayne on Gotham, will be there signing autographs.
Awesome.
And they're going to have some great Gotham swag and stuff. You can check it out. That is Sunday at Golden Apple Comics at Melrose and La Brea. Starts around 1 p.m. You can check that out. So that's a little geek update for my peeps.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
How dare you?
What is a nerd?
That would be me, Larry. real quick email here. I got an email if you want to have a real quick email from Jeremy Bushell, one of our listeners.
Wait,
Jeremy
do we
Bushell.
Have a vote?
No.
Oh.
He was listening to the podcast yesterday. He's a little behind. But he brought up something I thought was pretty interesting. He said, podcast listener, so I'm a day behind. I was just listening to Joe Levy from yesterday. We had him, of course, a contributor to Rolling Stone magazine. He was talking about all the new streaming services and stuff. He said, I don't know why we'd want to pay for a streaming service when we have the radio. Good. God bless you, Jeremy. Or iTunes, or heck, even YouTube, writes Jeremy. I don't want to pay extra for high-def audio when using my headphones. And to be honest, I do kind of get a vibe of a wider conspiracy. Rich people like the Kardashians and the Hiltons and the Jay-Z's of the world seem to control everything. I totally agree with Kevin when he says, I think Kanye West's Illuminati.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I think Kanye West's Illuminati. I think Kanye West's Illuminati. I think Kanye West's Illuminati.
I'm the president of rap music, and I need to work with you right away.
Are you the president of rap? Today's celebrity birthdays. Ray Parker Jr. is 61 years old. The kids love Ray Parker
they
Jr.
They do. They love him so much.
Unless they work the ice cream stand, then they don't care for him so much. Tim McGraw from country music. What kind of music you like? Oh, we got both kinds, country and western.
By the way, I know Allie has, but have you guys seen Tim McGraw at any of the awards shows, Grammys, or anything like that recently, and seen how jacked he is?
He's lean, mean, and a fighting machine.
He looks like Jake Gyllenhaal in Southpaw right now. It's insane what he looks like.
He is.
There's a point at which it's too much, right?
I think so.
I mean, I'm going, obviously, the other direction of not at all. None.
Yeah,
no definition.
You're trying to become a boneless human.
Right.
You just want to kind of sit in a puddle somewhere. A human puddle.
I feel like he's gone too far. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let's get him on the phone and tell him to have a split. He's 48 years old. Wes Anderson, the director, is 46. Julie Benz is 43. And actor Jamie Dornan, you know him best as Christian Grey from 50 Shades of... He's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Gimme. Now.
Take it easy, man.
Hey, Beer Mug's on the phone. He's in Las Vegas. We sent him out a couple of days ago. He's been covering the fight for us, the lead up to the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. And I understand that Muggs was out and up until 3 a.m. this morning.
Sweet.
He's going to be sounding fresh. Hey, Muggs.
98%. Or sorry. Yeah. Well, it's usually 97%, but it was 98% at the craps tables last night.
What's happening right now?
Meaning you're talking about how much you won?
Yeah, I'm up like $500.
Oh, sweet. Muggs, are you a guy like Kevin who 3 days in Las Vegas is too long?
Feels like 3 months.
Yeah, it does.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What have you been doing? What have you been doing for the Kevin and Bean show when you aren't off entertaining yourself and eating all the buffets?
Well, first of all, I don't know how you guys ever thought it was a good idea to send me out here. A, based on my interviewing skills, and B...
Well, by the way, A is all we need.
Yeah, and you have to put me in the middle of temptation-ridden Las Vegas, but it's been insane down here. It's been a media feeding frenzy, and I was talking to some employees of the Excalibur Hotel where we're staying, and they said it's more crowded today than it is on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
I feel like we're talking to meth mugs.
He does seem pretty hyped up. We had RJ Bell on from pregame.com last hour, Mugs, and he was telling us that he's never seen a boxing weekend like this in Las Vegas. I mean, this is one for the ages.
It's ridiculous. There's people who have no clue about boxing having a prediction for Saturday night's match. Ridiculous.
All right, Kevin, who did Mugs talk to? What interviews do we have?
The first one is Jesse Vargas. Did you know who he was when you interviewed him?
Never heard of him before in my life.
I am here with none other than Jesse Vargas, the junior welterweight division champion of the WBA. Nice
world.
To meet you, sir.
World.
World.
It took me a lot to win it, so let's just give it the whole definition.
That's a lot of hard work, something I know nothing about.
I'm sure you do.
All right, so boom! That's enough about you. Let's talk about me.
I don't plug. I don't give the man his proper respect, and then I start talking about myself. Now
that's why we love you.
That's a lot of hard work. Something I know nothing about.
I'm sure you do.
I'm a fat lazy bastard. So this is insane.
Where's the beer
mug? Oh, it's on the top of my foot.
You want to see?
Let's
see it.
Okay, I'll show you. Only for you, Jesse.
All right.
You might knock my lights out.
Yeah, only for you. I'm only going to show one person my tattoo on the top of my foot. That's a beer mug. Just you, guy who I've never heard of.
There it is.
Oh, shit, I see it. It ain't going nowhere.
It's there for life.
All right. Well, we heard a lot about mugs.
So that's a lot about mugs.
All right.
The other thing about mugs that we really enjoy is the longest question put together with the shortest answer. Because I think he wears the person down who he's asking the question of, and they just have no energy by the end of it.
What do you – like, how do you prepare – how is Pacquiao going to prepare for Mayweather and vice versa? I mean, I'm sure they know their game a little bit. Mayweather's a big counterpuncher, and Pacquiao's got to be quick, you know, in and out, quick in and out. How do they really, really, truly prepare and train for something like that? How do you prepare and train for, like, a fight, another fighter that yeah. you study
well,
up on?
You study them.
That's it. You study them. What do you mean, holy crap? That's a surprise to you?
Well, it's funny because I think when I start trying to improvise, that's when everything goes down the drain.
That's you what everything think? Is gold, by the way. You say goes down the drain, I say gold.
Thank you.
Here's what I like about Muggs is that now he's talking to a fighter about boxing, and the fighter starts talking about the mind game that is boxing, and Muggs jumps in so that he can help clarify.
You know what? That's why I love boxing. Because this is a mind game. It really is, man. You have to know how to play it right, and you have to know how to prepare right. There's so much on the line.
Because the mental game can either hurt or hinder you.
Exactly.
You can get in your head too much, and you're thinking too much, and then and you're not reacting. You're thinking, and that slows you down.
Why do you feel the need to add to his answer?
And to Ali's point, what's the difference between it hurting you and it hindering you?
They're the same thing. I just realized.
Because it's odd that you asked him the question and then he's answering and then you jump in as if you're being asked the question.
You're explaining his thoughts to him.
I can't explain the badness, guys.
All right. You interviewed Juan Manuel Marquez.
Yes.
And by the way, this is actually a decent interview.
What?
That's what I was saying. This is the last guy that knocked out Floyd, and here he is.
Pacquiao.
I'm sorry, Pacquiao.
The only man to knock out Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, Juan Manuel Marquez. How you doing, sir?
Fine, thank you.
Has Floyd called you on your personal line and asked you the key to knocking out Pacquiao?
Okay, listen, it's not the greatest question, but it's a question.
That's a very legitimate question.
Yeah.
Hey, why not? Why wouldn't a boxer who's getting ready to fight Pacquiao want to know how to beat him? Sure.
I don't think so. Maybe Mayweather no has the power. He has the experience. He has the intelligence. He moved in the ring. It may be Mayweather going to decision.
So you see it going all 12.
By the way, okay, so Muggs now understands what he's saying. It's going to go to a decision.
Uh-huh.
And then ask another question.
A follow-up question that answer.
What have you done with beer mugs?
Now Mayweather is very counter-punching. What does Pacquiao have to do to really kind of break him down?
Pacquiao need to do pressure. He not throw punches with power, with aim. Pacquiao need to work in his speed, in his power, in his legs. Pacquiao needs connect more punches because if I want to win, Pacquiao need to win every round.
So he sees it going to a decision, and that Pacquiao needs to win every single round. Otherwise, they're not going to give it to him.
Nice, Muggs.
Can this be a sign of improvement, guys?
But enough about you. Let's talk about me.
Now, if I was a boxer, Mr. Marquez, what weight class would I be in?
Super heavyweight. Super heavyweight.
Super heavy. I would be knocked out in less than 5 seconds, I think.
3 seconds.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah, he's not even going to give you five.
He says super heavyweight because he doesn't know the English word fat ass.
Is that a boxing category?
Maybe.
All right. So Muggs talks to Floyd Mayweather Sr.
Yes.
And Roy Jones Jr.
Really?
Wow.
When we come back.
Beer Mug has been in Las Vegas on duty for the Kevin and Bean Show for the past couple of days, getting interviews together ahead of the big Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. Muggs, why are all of your tweets at you eating, though? Like, here you are at the buffet, here at the Shake Shack. What's the deal?
Besides gambling and drinking in Vegas, there's eating. There's restaurants everywhere. It's my favorite thing to do.
That is true.
Right, but do you think we want to see pictures of you eating?
Who doesn't?
Me.
All right, where are we on the interviews? We've heard some great stuff already. Who's left?
We are up to Roy Jones Jr.
Yes.
Roy Jones Jr. getting a shoulder massage right there.
Gotta have it, baby. Gotta have it.
Welcome. You are a legend in the boxing world, and I didn't know this, but you were the only man to start as a light middleweight and go to heavyweight in boxing history. You're the only man to do that.
Not just go to heavyweight, to win the heavyweight title.
That's right.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. So when you look at boxing and look at the realistics, the real statistics on what has truly happened, who really is the greatest fighter of all time?
Roy Jones Jr.
I mean, it's hard to say not. You understand? I got the best argument of all.
By the way, let me give some credit to Roy Jones Jr. because there are people who just don't care about interviews, and there are people who really try to be good interviewees. All Muggs did is tell Roy Jones Jr. something about himself that Roy Jones Jr. already knew. And it would have been really easy for him to just shut that down, but he took it and ran with it and made it interesting.
By the way, I told him something half-hearted, like I had the information half right.
Right, but we're saying he already knew that information, so... Right.
Even if you'd gotten it spot on, you weren't telling him something he didn't already know. That was my point. But it was very cool the way he handled it, made you look good.
Super cool. By the way, you guys, the video is up, my interviews at krock.com and kevinandbean.com, although I don't think it really shows a true representation of the badness.
Yeah, well... I don't know how to help you with that. So he's still talking to Roy Jones Jr. And in this particular case, Beer Mug does the best thing that he could possibly do, which he never does, which is just shut the F up.
I feel like Manny Pacquiao is the busier fighter. He could win on a decision with the punch output. He could land one punch and end it, too, because he's that kind of guy. However, we've never seen Floyd Mayweather knocked out or even down. So with that being said, it's more likely that we're looking at Pacquiao winning a decision on points because he's the busier fighter. With Mayweather, we know that Pacquiao has been out before. He's a bigger fighter who is not nearly as busy as Pacquiao. So we know that he can throw the fight-ending punches, which is what he'll probably do because he's not looking to outpoint nobody like that. So to me, his chances for a knockout are better than Pacquiao's, and Pacquiao's chances for a decision are better than his. So I think we're in for a wonderful night.
How did you not jump in and try and finish his sentences?
Wow, that is amazing.
So then Muggs ends this interview in the most awkward way.
Mr. Jones, I can listen to you talk all day.
Thank you,
You're such a soothing voice.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever heard a compliment like that?
Nope.
I think that's the reason I shut the F up, because he was just relaxing me, and it was like zen.
Yeah, but don't tell him that.
And he was the one getting the massage, not you?
Right, yeah, he was getting the massage.
Huh.
All right, Floyd Mayweather Sr. Is he... He's not Floyd's trainer, right?
Yes, he's a head coach.
Oh, wow.
All I know about that is it's been going off and on for a lot of years, and they fight. Sometimes he locks them out of the gym. I mean, it gets ugly a lot of times.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play this. We're going to get through as much of this interview as we can. He is not a quick speaker.
Yeah.
Senior.
Ladies and gentlemen, Floyd Mayweather Sr., the man that gave birth to the greatest boxer of all time, Floyd Jr. Now, Mr. Senior, they're calling this the biggest fight of the century.
Called Mr. Senior. I like that.
Is it the biggest fight? Is it the biggest fight for your son?
Okay, so... I just want to understand. The question is, this is the biggest fight of the century.
Yeah.
Is it the biggest fight for Floyd?
It would seem yes would be the answer.
Yeah, I wanted to see if he felt the same way.
I think this fight is the biggest fight for anybody. This fight is not, nobody's playing. It's all real. And, I'm just here to tell you, man, that I feel that my son is the best.
I feel like Senior's an older Muggs.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't know where he's going with a sentence, but he just keeps talking till he gets there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a senior. He's like, you're going to be in 10 years, Muggs?
Except I haven't been punched in the head over the last 40 years.
So you have no excuse.
I have no excuse.
And I feel like he will overcome whatever problems that they have in. With the Roach and the Pac-Man.
All right. So then Muggs tries a follow-up question.
You have predicted a knockout. Junior will get a knockout. Do you still see that happening?
Yes. Yes. I'm just telling you what I see and believe. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm telling you like this. Once somebody got knocked out,
right,
the way he did, with
Marquez, right?
It ain't no more gear up there to save the rest of it,
right? Right,
because that right there, when he hit when Mike Hess did that.
And with
how did it take you that long to interrupt? You interrupt people when they have a good thought and they say it concisely.
I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, I do too. Let the man go lay down.
He doesn't though.
Floyd Jr. is such a great counterpuncher.
Excellent counterpuncher.
Excellent counterpuncher.
And wait. Marquez is right handed, isn't he? Yes. Of course he is.
Yeah.
And Marquez got a chance to hit him. And he whooped Marquez all day.
Yeah.
Easy. So, what makes somebody believe that Pacquiao ain't going nowhere?
Look, if I'm Muggs and I'm in a situation where I'm offered a chance to interview Floyd Mayweather's father, I guess I have to take it. But also, at some point early on in the interview, I realize it's kind of a waste of time.
Well, it gets better as he asks him who's going to be in the actual corner for the fight. You would expect that that would be a very select group of people and that he would know.
Will your brother Roger be in the corner on Saturday night as well with you?
I'll be in the corner.
You'll be in the corner?
The guys I think is going to be in the corner, I think it's going to be me.
Right.
I'm the head coach. It's going to be me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be...
Anyone else?
What's his name?
What's his name?
I forgot the guy's name. Right. His name is Isaac.
Isaac, okay.
Isaac.
And it's going to be...
Anyone else?
Raphael.
Uh-huh.
The older guy, Raphael.
You know, that
older
guy.
And the guy, Billy.
Billy.
Yeah.
It's a good corner. You guys have assembled a good team for Junior.
Yeah.
He's just naming the first names that he can think of.
He was such a sweet guy. And I
probably a guy named Isaac, I think. Is there a Billy? Can I have a Billy?
He ran names after himself.
Ah, Muggs. That's not your fault, dude.
No.
I hope not.
You look good, but you look good.
All right, so here's what I love. Are we done with them?
Sure. I have another, 2 minutes, but
we don't have fight. Yeah. So, Muggs, we sent you to Las Vegas. You've been there warming up, getting ready for the fight, but you're turning around and heading home.
No, actually not. I'm going to go see if I can find some tickets for Saturday night.
For reals?
Yeah. I know they're like $1 million each, but hey, why not?
Because you're hosting the thing here.
Well, if I get tickets, no, I'm not.
So that event that you're doing at the Bicycle Club and Casino in Bell Gardens that we've been giving away tickets for promoting all week, you're saying Muggs may or may not appear.
See, chance to be at the biggest fight of the century or host something back in L.A.?
Yeah, we'll see you here. What 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. And yes, that was the Lemonheads. That's what that was. Right
Come
there.
On.
That was
what
right
are you
there.
Doing?
That was Lemonheads.
What's going on?
Playing the Lemonheads.
But what are you doing?
Playing the Lemonhead song.
Okay.
This is Rob.
Hey, Ryan Scheckler has not been on with us for a while. Legendary skier. He'll be joining us at 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. So stick around for that. He's got a very cool event happening coming up soon. First, though, Bean speaking. I don't do the exercise. But I have been told that out of all the things that you can do in the gym, the one that is the most surprisingly difficult is yoga.
Yeah, I've done yoga. And
have you?
And you look at it and you go, well, they're just stretching. How hard can that be? And then they ask you to do it, and it's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, why?
It's ridiculous.
Why is that? I mean, you would expect lifting weights to be hard. You would expect using the machines in a gym to be hard. Running would be hard. Lots of things look hard. Why does yoga, which looks so easy, why is that hard?
I don't know. I think your muscles just aren't used to being in that position or whatever, but they put you in weird positions and you have to stay and hold it. And most of the time your balance isn't very good at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new type of yoga class that's out now. It's called fat yoga.
Finally, one for me.
Because people have been noticing that yoga is not necessarily for the bigger ladies and men. And here's the news report.
Proving there's no such thing as a yoga body, fat yoga classes are picking up steam across the U.S. It's a yoga class with modified poses, making the practice accessible to people of all shapes and sizes.
So in other words, if you're a bigger person, you can't just follow along with the rest of the class. You have to make adjustments to the way you stand. You have to make adjustments to the way your body moves. And that's what they're focusing on, is they're saying that yoga is for everybody, not just for people who are already fit, I guess, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, we wanted to find out more about this because, you know, I'm sure there have to be places like this in Southern California because we lead the nation in fitness trends. So we've got an instructor on the phone named Seth Oleander. Seth, is the name of your joint Fat Yoga?
Yes. The name of my place is Fat Yoga.
So that's not insulting, just like out of the gate to call people fat who are coming in for your class?
We're taking fat back.
Taking fat back.
Like, black people take the N-word and they own it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, we're taking... Hold on a second.
Whew, are you out of breath from talking?
Yes. We're taking the F-word back from thin people.
Okay. All right. So fat yoga, did we describe it properly, Seth?
Yes. Yoga has for a long time has been considered, a fitness activity for thinner people.
Okay.
But we're here to prove there's no such thing as a yoga body, mm-hmm. and yoga can help anyone, regardless of how big or small they are.
Wow. Hey, Seth, before we lose you, I noticed when we started, Pour Some Sugar on Me was playing, and now it seems Milkshake. I can't...
My Milkshake brings all the boys to yard.
I can't imagine that's a good tune, and now I want candy.
Yes.
I think maybe... something a bit more neutral, maybe? Get your mind off the food while you're there working out?
Well, here's the thing. We need music to help motivate us in the situation.
Okay.
Right, but I want candy?
Yeah, what's more motivating than that? Really, when you think about it, I'll do anything for candy.
Okay.
I have done things for candy that are illegal in many states.
I'm not at all surprised about that. So is there any danger, and this is a serious question, Seth, is there any danger of a bigger person getting hurt attempting to do a yoga pose?
I'm so glad you asked that. Actually, yoga for larger people is one of the safest forms of exercise.
It is. Okay.
Because it is low impact.
Right.
And you don't need to run or stress your heart or lungs in any way.
Right, but... Okay.
And so it's slow movement that slowly trains and helps strengthen the body.
I'm starting to doze off listening to Seth, by the way. It's very relaxing.
So what we've done is taken many traditional yoga positions and we've just augmented them and altered them for larger yoga practitioners.
Are you an instructor?
I am. I'm a yogi.
Okay.
So you modify like a downward dog into something, right?
We don't do the downward dog.
Okay.
But we do the reclining panda.
All right, that sounds doable.
We don't do the lotus position, but we do the recumbent narwhal.
Sure, why not?
Fruitcake.
You're playing fruitcake now.
Fruitcake, I love it. Other positions we have, the resting rhino.
The resting rhino.
Rhino, okay.
The napping brontosaurus.
Right.
Hibernating bear.
Okay.
Molasses.
Right.
The molasses-covered boulder.
Seth, you all right? Seth?
Another position is the immovable.
The what?
What's that one?
Seth? What's it called?
The immovable bag of crap.
That's just mean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Friday morning, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Turns out, I never saw this coming, but it looks like people like comic book movies.
What?
Superheroes seem to be popular with moviegoers.
Yeah, what's up?
Especially if they're done well. Yeah, as all the Marvel films have been to date. Looks like Avengers Age of Ultron is also pleasing audiences. The midnight showings. So, this morning at 12:01 a.m., pulled in almost $28 million in America.
That's a good opening weekend.
Right.
I think that's good for most movies in total. I mean, really.
So they're saying if it keeps up with this pace, if you plug that number into the formula, they're estimating it's on its way to a record-setting $207 million opening weekend.
Only that much?
Just that much.
Does anyone in the movie, Avengers or otherwise, run into a clean piece of glass?
I do not believe so, Pete, no. So we've lost Kevin as a viewer.
No, no, but... I'm in.
Really?
Oh, sure.
You sure?
Can't wait.
No segues in this whole movie, Kevin. You know that, right?
I do know that.
Okay.
You sure? You sure you know?
I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
All right. Sad news.
Loud, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very, very loud.
Sad news, sorry.
You will enjoy that. Sad news. We lost a great R&B singer-songwriter. Gave us a classic back in 1963, a song that really has lasted over decades in popularity. His name was Ben E. King. And the song was Stand By Me.
So die.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's the keeper right there.
Not only Benny King was responsible for that particular song, but for hundreds and, well, thousands and thousands of hours of horrible karaoke. We're charged by Benny King in that song. But, yeah, he passed away at the age of 76. So that's sad news.
One of those songs that's so simple, yet every part of it is perfect.
Well, you know, it's just the instrumentation, that bass, and the triangle that's played. It's such a cool sound. It's just a great vibe. First became a hit in 61. And then again in 1986 when Rob Reiner's film Stand By Me came out, and that brought it back into popularity, at least on the charts. It's been on the charts 9 different times. Twice by Benny King, and then 7 different cover versions as well. So, a song that a lot of people love. Sad news. He will be missed.
He is a dick.
Oh, come on, Kevin! U2's getting ready for its North American tour. Begins May the 14th in Vancouver, B.C. New York Times reports that the band will be using a new custom-built sound system that has speakers on the ceiling pointing down to the audience.
That's interesting.
Instead of on stage level, facing out, the music will rain down on you from above. Edge explained in the interview.
Yes, please.
With this, you don't have to have it so loud. You're getting good quality sound from something that's much closer to you than normal.
Is it possible that no one has ever tried this before?
Well, yes. But then maybe no.
That's true. It's hard to argue with both of those points.
Right. U2 will do 2 sets a night with an intermission in between. The stage itself has 3 platforms, a rectangular, a round, and then a walkway in between that can be used as a smaller third stage, depending on the vibe of the song. And Bono, it says in the interview, will not be playing the guitar because he be effed up.
Says
the New York Times.
It says that in the New York Times?
Yeah, which they're getting much more sort of casual with their writing over there.
Well, they tweeted the whole article.
They did, yes. little chunks.
100 tweets in a row.
Sadly, though, in a serious note, he may never play guitar again.
Wow.
Because of that bicycle accident. That's how bad his injuries were. And in case anyone's curious, he's now blonde.
He's now blonde?
Yes.
Okay.
Bono well, he did blonde. Fall hard.
Hey, it's those ducks. Hey, guys. Where you go? Boy, they fly.
I hate all of you.
They fly high.
I hate every one of you.
Except for Ali. Real quick emails. A couple real quick emails. Recently this week, Bean played a bunch of Henny Youngman clips.
Yes.
Inexplicably during the showbiz beat.
Well, when you say it like that, it makes it sound like it was bad.
It was bad. And it was during the showbiz beat. And a lot of people were cheesed off because they like to hear, showbiz news and things during the showbiz beat as versus 100-year-old jokes. Edwin writes in, thank God Bean broke out the Henny Youngman clips. I stopped listening to Ryan Seacrest because there wasn't enough Henny Youngman.
Well?
Hall of Fame, Edwin.
Sweet.
Bean also will play a ton of Rodney Bingenheimer audio during the Showbiz Beat. Once again, keeping the Showbiz news out of the Showbiz. This email comes from listener Ryan Johnson. Hello, Ralph. Longtime listener to Kevin and Bean Show ever since high school. You're one of the big reasons I've stuck with it, particularly your Showbiz Beat segment is a favorite of mine. However, lately, feels like there's less and less time given to that segment. Now, most of it can't be helped, but the segment this morning where you played clips from Rodney Bingenheimer took things a little too far. It got so bad, it almost made me shout, Bean is playing too much Rodney! I woke up in a
Bean is playing too much Rodney!
Bean is playing too much Rodney! Bean is playing too much Rodney!
Sorry, kids.
Ryan Johnson lodging a complaint, a strongly worded letter to Bean Baxter.
There is no
losers.
Too much Rodney.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jamie Dornan is 33 years old today.
I dig.
Yeah, a lot of people like that movie, Rodney. Julie Benz is 43.
Super sad.
No. She's lovely. It's her birthday, and she was on Dexter.
It's all good.
Dexter's. So what?
Well, I'm just saying, she was great on that. That's all. Director Wes Anderson's 46.
Seriously?
Yes, he really is. He looks younger, I know. Tim McGraw, country legend, 48 years old.
No.
Yeah. Right. And singer Ray Parker Jr. turned 61.
F*** you.
Wow.
He hates Ray Parker.
Who are you going to call? That seems inappropriate. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
By the way, quick reminder, K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. Tickets are going on sale at noon today, so a little less than 3 hours from right now. Make sure you are signed up as a K-Rock Street Team member to buy those tickets. They go on sale at noon, as I said. Details at K-Rock.com, and the show is May 16th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Our old friend Ryan Scheckler on the phone. He didn't start skateboarding, Kevin, until he was already 18 months old. So when you get started
what a
that
lazy
late,
bastard.
Like, how do you even make up for that kind of lost time when you get such a late start? And then go on to be one of the most successful skateboarders in history with multiple gold medals at the X Games and so much more. Ryan, how have you been, my friend?
Man, I've been so good. How have you guys been?
Very good, thank you.
We're fine. You seem to be awfully busy, even for a sport that involves a lot of travel. I feel like you do more travel than you really need to.
I don't think it's more than I need to. I think I'm just, I feel so blessed to be a skateboarder and to still be able to do, you know, the amazing things that I get to do, like traveling the world and the people I meet. It's life-changing to me. So when I can get on trips, you know, I'm traveling a good 8 months out of the year, not all at once, but like, you know, staggered trips throughout the year. Yeah, I'm gone about 8 months, but you know, at the end of the year, you don't even realize it. Like, I normally take most of December off because that's, like, my birthday, and I kind of just get that whole month off. But once I get to that point, it's like, dang, the whole year just went by again. So if anything, it's like time travel for me, man. I don't even realize what's happening.
Is there any part of the world that doesn't know you?
I'm sure there is somewhere, right?
it's not what you've seen.
Yeah.
Right. How old are you now, Ryan? What are you, about 25 maybe?
Yeah, I'm 25. Just turned December 30th. Wow.
And what does that mean in the world of skateboarding? You know, every sport has an age at which it starts to become more difficult. Are you at that point yet?
I think right now with me being 25 and the amount of bones that I've broken, I think the only thing that I'm noticing is just how much more sore I get. And
it takes longer to heal.
Yeah, recovery time.
It takes a bit longer to heal, but, you know, the motivation is still there. So, I don't know. I mean, I just kind of have to calculate a couple things a little bit more than I would if I was, you know, 17 or 18. But
was there a move that you could do at 15 that you can't do now?
I'd say at 15, like, I could probably jump off higher things. So I'm saying, like, now I could probably jump off 13 feet. Then I probably could have jumped off 15 feet without getting hurt. So I don't
gotcha.
Know.
Not much. You got another event coming up this weekend. This is the 6th annual Skate for a Cause. This is going to be happening tomorrow at 5 p.m. at the Etnies Skate Park in Lake Forest. And this raises money for your own charity, right?
Yeah, so this time we're raising money for the charity to be able to to actually donate money for future causes this year. So this one, we're not really benefiting anyone. We're just trying to get our funds up so that we can actually throw a couple more events later on this year. But actually, the event tomorrow, it starts at 10 o'clock. So it goes from 10 to 5. And it's just going to be an amazing event, dude. Every year is so amazing. All the top skateboarders are coming out, and it's just going to be a blast.
And by the way, when you say all the top skateboarders are coming out, I mean, you have dozens of pros who show up for your event. This isn't just like one guy and a bunch of people you've never heard of. I mean, this is everybody, right?
Yeah, it's everyone. You know, it's from Fabrizio Santos to Manny Santiago, Greg Lutzka, you know, the newest Plan B amateur, Chris Jocelyn, Ryan DeCenzo, you know, Tyler Hanley. Like, we have everyone coming out because everyone supports the cause, you know. Once you've skated in a Scheckler event, you kind of realize what we're actually trying to do. We're not raising money just to put it in our pockets. Like, we're actually putting the money into incredible causes and helping the youth and, you know, just really trying to be a fixture in our community.
It seems like...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. It seems like your group of guys, though, and people who skateboard more root for each other than our enemies or try to beat each other, that kind of competitive thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, obviously we all want to beat each other. We're all competitive skateboarders at heart. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all just skateboarding. So we go out there and we... You know, it's not like we're competing. We're just out there having a big demo with our best friends, the people we want to be skateboarding with. And, you know, that's what I think the beautiful thing about skateboarding is, you know, everyone's a family. Like, skateboarding is just a huge, huge family. You know, I could go to the skate park and not know one kid there, and by the end of the session, I'm homies with all 12 or 25 of them. It doesn't matter. Skateboarding is a passion, and if you're a skateboarder, you know what it feels like.
10 to 5, as Ryan mentioned, at the Etnies Skate Park in Lake Forest with Best Trick Contest all day long. Ryan, I'm going to be honest. I don't know how you're going to answer this question, but I am unfamiliar with this term. Please tell me, what is, sir, the Etnies Tranny Best Trick Contest?
The Etnies Tranny Best Trick. Yeah, so tranny is just a abbreviation for transition. So it'll be that'll just be like the quarter pipe skating. So... everything else, like, there's going to be the rail section and then the ledge section. And then, yeah, tranny is transition. So it's just going to be the quarter pipes. And
let me make a note.
Yeah, like transitioning, like, from, like, horizontal, vertical, that type of thing?
Yeah, just going up and coming right back down.
Transition. Okay.
This Scheckler Foundation, by the way, does, among other things, helps injured action sports athlete and children in need and has done so much great work. And as we mentioned, this is the 6th annual Skate for a Cause event that you're doing. And by the way, speaking of charity, is this true, Ryan, that you not long ago auctioned off your own personal vehicle to raise money for children's cancer charities?
Yeah, see, I did that. That's actually how I got into this the whole giving back thing. I had my Range Rover when I was 17 years old, and I was getting ready to get rid of it, and I wasn't going to make the money that I wanted to make off of it, and I didn't care about that. And I was just like, you know what? Why don't we just donate this car? Let's start something new. Let's donate this. Let's auction it off. And we ended up raising like $240,000.
Wow!
For the car, yeah. And
was it full of weed? How did you get so much for it?
Oh man, because each kid that came in, you know, like they had to raise their own funds. And the one kid who won it, he was a 17-year-old comedian from L.A. and he was going out and doing his own stand-up shows, trying to raise his own money. I think he ended up raising like $17,000 or $20,000, and he ended up with the most money. So he won. But the craziest thing was that his girlfriend, who was 17 at the time, had cancer, and we didn't know that. So it kind of just, everything works out for a reason. You know, I'm a big, firm believer in God and everything. You know, everything works out when it's supposed to. And that just, you know, that was my introduction into giving back. And from that point on, we haven't stopped. And then 2014, last year, we finally hit our mark, and we donated $1 million. So...
Wow, that is beautiful.
We've only been around for, you know, 6 or 7 years. So
you have always been one of the good guys, man, and we're always happy to help you promote the event. And this one sounds great. You can go to ryanscheckler.com or schecklerfoundation.org. Again, it's the 6th annual Skate for a Cause. It's going to be tomorrow, 10 to 5, all day fun, nice day, Etnies Skate Park in Lake Forest. Ryan, have fun there tomorrow, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Hey, thanks, guys, so much, man. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Our final look at the showbiz beat for a Friday morning. Here's Ralph Garman.
It's been an interesting week for me.
Okay. Good, interesting, bad?
Yeah, okay. No, very flattering. I was contacted earlier in the week by someone to know if I'd be interested in throwing out the ceremonial first frisbee at an ultimate disc game.
Nice!
Wait, that's in the good column?
Yes.
Okay.
And now I've just received an invitation to participate in a celebrity charity curling match.
A curling match?
Yes. Being held on July 4th here in Los Angeles. And what says curling more than the middle of summer in July in Los Angeles?
That's the peak season.
That's curling weather for you right there. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I think I'm starting to take on huge celebrity proportions where I'm getting invited to all these events.
Well, you were an ultimate Frisbee player.
I was, you're sure. Was. Yeah, I was a pioneer in the sport.
Yeah.
That's why they probably considered me.
Yeah, so what's the...
No?
Nope. What's the curling?
I can't figure out
what's
where to
my
play.
Curling connection?
Yeah.
Well,
so nothing.
You've been to Canada.
I have been to Canada.
Okay.
I have...
Huge stones. Sorry. I'm just gonna head home.
I've curled.
Okay.
Weights. Oh. I've done bicep curls.
Okay. I would have thought it's been a good week.
My daughter and my wife both have curly hair.
Huh.
Okay.
All right.
So I would have thought maybe Worst Thumb would play into this as well. The formation of a new band.
Maybe that's what's pushed me over the top. Maybe it's the Worst Thumb fame that is now getting me all these high profile invitations to all these celebrity charity events.
So for the Frisbee thing, you just throw it? You just throw the Frisbee?
Oh, Kevin.
Well,
you're so sweet.
It's like a first pitch at a baseball game. You just throw a baseball.
I know, but you're supposed to throw it in a strike, which I can't do. But are you supposed to throw the Frisbee anywhere? How does it work? Just throw it?
I will throw it.
Anywhere?
I will try to throw it to the captain of our L.A. team at one of our team big team matches.
Right.
And then curling, of course, I will probably I'll be a sweeper.
Okay.
Or a thrower. I have no idea any terms
sweeper
about curling.
Was
sweeper right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Why? They do that a lot for some reason.
Yell a lot.
While they're sweeping.
If you do both of those things and then get to do some announcing in an arena football game, then you will have completed the trifecta.
I don't know if I can get any
bigger
than that.
It's a hat trick of fame.
It is.
I might be getting too famous is what I'm afraid of. I might be too famous. Sometimes, look. My good friend Kristen Stewart once said,
"Yeah,
fame is the worst thing in the world."
She did say that, yeah.
And so I'm afraid that maybe I am becoming a victim of the worst thing in the world, which is fame.
You are approaching Clooney-esque.
I know. That's my fear. So. And then they're going to have to pass laws that people won't be able to talk to me because it'll be too disturbing.
This is Mike Clooney, who I know from the Pep Boys.
Down on
Sunset. That guy, yeah.
Pep Boys, by the way.
Good reference.
Are they still even in operation?
I don't know. Are there
any Pep Boys
there
left?
There actually is one on Sunset.
Is that still there? All right.
I thought so.
Last time I thought it was boarded up, but what do I know? My apologies, Pep Boys, if you're still in operation.
It's Manny, Moe, and Jack.
Yeah. Let's take a little... Before I give you information about show business things, how about joining Beer Mug and the K-Rock promo crew at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino tomorrow night for K-Rock Fight Night at the Bike.
Yeah!
Oh, by the way, if you weren't listening earlier, Muggs is really excited. He's super excited about being there. He can't wait.
He said he was looking for tickets
to see
the event.
He did say
it live, and he may not be there.
And then we went into a commercial, and we put him in queue so we could hear the phone, and he said, "Was that bad?"
We're like, why? An event that we've been promoting on the air and giving away to a great sponsor? Is it bad that you're trying to distance yourself from an event before it happens?
Yeah. That is awesome. That is awesome.
It's no reflection on the event or the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It's just Beer Mug's bad.
Correct.
Yes. That's what it is. So I don't think
anyone can use his head.
There's no worries, I think, there.
Correct.
You got to be 21 years of age or older if you'd like to go. But it's going to be a great event. They're going to show the fight there, and you'll also be at the bike. You can go to thebike.com for more details, but I want to give away some tickets right now. Two winners will get a pair of VIP passes to join Beer Mug and the K-Rock crew at the fight tomorrow night. Give me a call, 1-800-520-1067. Got to be 21 years of age or older to attend. So that's caller number 20 and 21. Callers 20 and 21 will get a pair of passes for Fight Night at the Bike.
Fire, Beer Mug!
Yes.
Yeah.
Sad news. Beer Mug lives. And yet, Ben E. King has passed away. The R&B soul singer and also songwriter died at the age of 76. His claim to fame? Well, he once threw out a Frisbee at an ultimate disc.
I don't think that's what he's known for.
No? I thought that was
the
highest accolade you can get, I think, in the world
think
of show business.
So.
No, he also had a top 10 hit in 1961, again in 1986. A little song called Stand By Me.
So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand. Stand by me. Stand by me.
lot of work on the lyrics there.
Not enough triangle in pop music anymore, I think.
Agreed.
That's the last big hit, I think, that had a triangle solo in it. Passed away at the age of 76. It was announced by his good friend Gary U.S. Bonds. Remember Gary U.S. Bonds?
Sure.
Quarter to Three.
Remember the name. Sure.
Was his big hit. And didn't he have another one? Springsteen brought him back for another
This
hit,
Little Girl was the Springsteen girl. Hit that he wrote, yeah.
That's right. William Shatner has a plan to save California's water crisis.
He is a dick.
No, he is not. He is the captain.
That's a piece of tape that Bean keeps playing in the wrong places.
And
I just want to make that clear.
I am afraid that people think this is me really saying things.
Well, I'm just saying.
William Shatner has a plan that's going to help fight California's drought.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he does. He is fed up with California's catastrophic drought now in its fourth year. You know, by the way, just not to be a doomsayer, but scientists say this potentially could be part of a 100-year mega drought.
Yeah.
That occasionally the planet goes through these cycles where it could be a drought that's now in its fourth year that it could be setting up for the 100-year mega drought. That seems bad.
That doesn't seem good. Well, but Captain's going to fix it.
Right,
so.
Captain's going to fix. Captain Kirk is going to fix things. He says he's going to create a water highway, in his words, a pipeline which will bring water from the Seattle area to California by running along the I-5 interstate from the northwest.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
Yes, that's right. And also he's going to run this pipe from the northwest to Lake Mead.
Okay.
All he needs is to raise $30 billion on Kickstarter to build it.
See, you said that earlier. $30 billion seems like maybe that's overshooting a bit. You can't build a pipeline for less than that?
No, it's a long pipeline.
I know, but $30 billion.
Bean has to take a plane to get here from where this pipeline is going to start.
I understand that.
It's a lot of pipe.
Okay.
It's as much pipe as you've ever seen. Well, not you, maybe, but a lot. Most people haven't seen this much pipe.
Yeah. 1,000 miles is a pretty big project.
It's a lot of pipe, right?
Sure.
That's about $30 billion worth of pipe, I'm guessing.
All right.
It's going to take the water from Seattle and then bring it down here to Lake Mead, where it'll fill up the lake, and then that way we'll have our drought solved.
You know, not to get all serious on it, Ralph, but I'm very concerned about this drought. I don't think it affects you, the people who live in that area, as much as it affects the whole world with the farming that goes on in California. I mean, California, we make so much stuff in that state.
I know.
And there's just not going to be any more of it if they can't keep getting water.
Well, there's
you
some,
can't grow things without water.
There are some crops that they choose to grow in California that are ill-advised for an area that is
like
susceptible
almonds.
To drought, like almonds. And, by the way, rice. Do you know a lot of rice is grown in California?
I did not know that.
Do
no.
you know you need to grow rice underwater?
No, I didn't know that. That's how
you make rice.
All right.
It has to grow underwater. So you need large, giant fields of water for it to grow. That's not a good idea.
So get on it, Mr. Shatner.
Shatner's going to get on it.
Go tell them to stop planting rice. Well, maybe that's a start.
Good start. Cut out with the almonds and the rice, and maybe we'll all have another extra shower or two.
Terrorist situation.
It's not a terrorist situation at all, Kevin. Please. Please stay on target. There is a little hitch to the plan. The officials in Washington State say you can't have our water. So
what?
That's a problem. They say, hey, we have problems up here ourselves. We're keeping our water. It's not for you to take to California. So that's a little bit of a hitch. But we can declare war on them or something, right? And we can just fix that.
Yeah, California's bigger than Washington.
That's what I'm saying.
They just take it.
Right. An official for the state of Washington called the pipeline idea highly illogical. See what they did there? Because William Shatner used to be...
Yep, on a show. With
50 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what's up?
Right. You with me, Kevin? Hello?
This thing on? Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
Wow. Who's calling or why? Patty Boyd. It's a name some of you may or may not know. She just got married in the UK. She's 71 years old, married a 61-year-old real estate developer named Rod Weston. This wouldn't be news except for the fact that her two previous husbands... were George Harrison and Eric Clapton.
Hmm. Wow.
So you're married to George Harrison, a Beatle, the height of his fame. Then Eric Clapton is your next husband, and now you're married a real estate guy. That real estate guy's got to feel weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to last.
Let's be honest.
Can you write me a hit song? No, but I can get you a good deal on a down payment on some
on a duplex,
some industrial property in Surrey. I don't think that's going to go over so well.
Hey, look, it's the Ducks. Hey, guys.
How dare you?
You guys are playing great. We're all behind you here.
Every
on the
one of
Bean
us.
Show, every one of us.
A lot of support. Nothing but support for Anaheim.
And
Scott Weiland, Stone Temple Pilots former singer.
Yeah.
He's got his new band, The Wildabouts. He was caught on video performing in Corpus Christi, Texas this week. And he did not fare well in this video.
Yeah, it doesn't
seem sound like he was
great.
Struggling with a song. Well, the song, in defense, was a brand new one. He was just learning it,
nope.
So I could see what.
No, it was an STP song.
What? Biggest hit.
Biggest. It's Vaseline that he's played 100,000 times before.
Yeah. But he was off key and he forgot the words, but it's because someone else wrote that song, right? So he couldn't be imagined. He couldn't be expected to.
No, that was. That's one of his.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he had a couple drinks before the show. That's what his people say.
Yeah. That's not what it sounds like. We listened to this tape today. It doesn't sound like he's drunk.
Well, he's got a bad earpiece, they say. He's got his bad earpiece.
A bad earpiece. Okay. Yeah. Allie, your thoughts? You saw the video.
I saw the Well, I first heard the audio, and I thought, he can't hear himself in his earpiece. Something's very
wrong.
Okay,
so that makes sense.
So that made sense. But then I watched the video, and there's nothing there.
A thousand yards there.
Yeah, he's just
We have
dead
the audio.
In the
we
eyes.
Have the audio queued up. Can we take a listen, and you be the judge? We have a little of that.
I've got it if you don't.
Yeah,
get it.
I think you
yeah.
do. Yeah. Do you have it? No, that's
See,
not.
That sounds all right.
I don't believe
that
that's
right. It's the right key.
I don't think that's
here's,
what I was talking
here's
about.
Here's a little bit of, it's not the greatest audio in the world, but here's a little bit of him attempting to sing his song, Vaseline. Just kind of just monotone, really,
yeah.
more than singing. He's talking it, sort of.
I'm in the Vaseline.
A little bit.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ray Parker Jr., 61 years old today.
No!
Once threw ice cream in Bean's wife's face. That happened.
Claim to fame right there.
Tim McGraw's 48. He's thin. And wears hats. Wes Anderson's 46. He directs movies and wears suits. Julie Benz, a lovely and talented actress, was once married to Dexter on the program Dexter. Then she climbed into the bathtub.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what happened next. And Jamie Dornan, he, of course, the star of 50 Shades of Grey. He is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Don't forget, tickets go on sale today at noon for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2015. Noon, go to Ticketmaster.com. Good luck.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He is a dick.
Roll another one.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Just like the other one.
Just a little pink.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That is awful.
And I need another hit.
Still waiting on that heifer, Julio.
You cool. You, I'm out.
Roll another one.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Just like the other one.
Bunch of douchebags.
This one seems to be about to end.
Whoa, Panama.
I don't have another cent.
Brazil, Indiana, hello.
Tell me now, asshole.
Germans always make good stuff.
Just pass it around.
I drink your milkshake.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
You
like to hit and quit it, huh? That's how you roll?
I'm just passing on down.
We're out? What do you mean we're out? Was it not clear from the context? We are out. This exchange is now over.
Okay, but I...
This exchange is now over, thank you.
We must change this right now. Stop the violence, man. Go home. I'm telling you, go home.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
106.7 K-Rock, K-O-Q. And that, of course, was... Who was that?
Bye, Felicia.